you bringing me back my heart? I tried to understand it, baby. I searched my heart inside my mind. I searched the depths of my soul, so baby, there was nothing there to find. You told me that you'd never leave me. Girl, you just went and told a lie. Tell me, baby, why'd you do it? Why'd you make me wanna cry?
Why you treat me so bad?
Why you treat me so bad? Or relationships, why do they fail? Part two. Last Tuesday we had part one, and boy, oh boy, we had some heated discussions that evening on Tuesday. That is the topic of Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Why relationships, why do they fail? Part two. And that is my segment, Miss Inez. Let's talk about it. Is it you? Is it me? Is it us? Is it we? Do we lack communication? Are we just lacking? Are we supportive? Are we unsupportive? Come and join me in the discussion this evening. It was so good Tuesday, like I said. We had to continue tonight. My hard hitters aren't going to be with me, but still we're going to have some hard hitters this evening. Yep, it's me, Miss Inez, your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Anais.co Design, broadcasting to you worldwide. Call in to the show if you want to partake, join in the conversation, or just want to be an active listener at 845-241-9985 and tell me what's really on your mind about relationships and why they fail. Again, it's 845-241-9985. That's right. Relationships could be girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, co-worker, children, could be monogamous friends, platonic friends, siblings, etc. We're going to explore some of those reasons again from the marriage standpoint and just basically a standpoint. But some of these reasons we can go into our relationships. And you know what? We have to continue this relationship until we get through. I have found 16 someone brought to my attention today, signs your relationship may be failing. And the 15 that I found was on www.marriage.com/advice /relationship signs your relationship is failing. And we talked about number one, almost three hours on Tuesday, because that was the number one issue was communication. That's right, communication. So take a look at your current relationship. Do you hesitate when people ask you how it's going? Or you find yourself asking, why is my relationship failing? If yes is the answer, that is one of the signs your relationship is failing and not working out as planned. Even when there is a dispute, you would say, you'd get excited and think about your relationship as like, you know, you put your finger on the side of your face and go, Well, nevertheless, if you do not feel that this way about your relationship or you are not happy, it may be the right time to take a few steps back and review the relationship and the essence of your relationship. And the first one, as I said, was no communication. And we need to communicate with each other. So far we have one caller more on the phone. We have Reverend Ron Marshall. He was one of the heavy hitters from the other night. Welcome, 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 Reverend Marshall. How are you this evening?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Inez. Never better, you know? Feel good,
good
about
good,
this.
Good, good, good.
Thank you, you know?
Yes, yes. We have some, we may not have all those heavy hitters this evening, but hopefully, you know, some more will be calling in. So as we had talked about, communication was, quote-unquote, the number one reason why relationships fail. And I mean, I think all of us, I think there was about 8 or 9 of us, maybe close to 10 of us on the line the other day, who agreed that communication is basically the number one, because if you don't talk about it, you won't know about it. So hopefully y'all will talk about, you know, your relationship and what's going on. And you say, hey, how you doing? Get out my face. Oh, is it that bad? Oh, I don't want to talk to you. Oh, really? Well, let's talk about it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Let's talk about it. So the number two thing that we discussed, or that was on the topics, was what is it? You fight all the time. Do you really fight all the time, Reverend Ron? Is that like the number two? If you're not getting along, yeah, I mean, communication and fighting, that seems like communication to me. But, you know, if you're fighting all the time, it's because you're not talking out what's going on, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking, and really, you're concentrating more on the opposite of what the relationship should be concentrating on. The relationship should be nourished one to another by love constantly, consistently.
Okay.
I think that when it's not enough love practice on a consistency, then people do fall apart, you know?
Right. And, you know, that's one thing that's kind of hard, you know, because you want to face the person, but you don't want to face the person because you know there's going to be a fight that's going to brew up. And it's like, well, dang, you know, if we can't talk about it, maybe we'll just fight about it. But fighting, as they say on the 15 reasons why your relationship fails, it says fighting in a relationship is a sign of a healthy relationship. I guess it depends on the fighting that you do. The problem comes when the fight turns into hatred, extended breaks, and hurtful words. If your fights involve exchanging hurtful words and disrespecting each other over the slightest thing, it is one of the signs that your relationship is failing. So you just need to make it work. Correct?
Correct.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. All right. And we do have another caller on the line. I believe that's Reverend Bobby Jackson. Is that? Oh, he just hung up. Okay, never mind. He hung up. So he was on the line. But, I mean, it's just hard, you know. It's fighting. I mean, why you didn't get married to join the MMA, the WFE. You didn't join in for all that. You joined in for love and companionship, not to get thrown across the room and slapped in the face and knocked down and beat up and, you know, having chairs thrown across your head. And as you always see on television, thrown into the glass table, because you know people always get thrown into that glass table, huh? But but it's like, well, dang, if that's the case, y'all need to go to crunch and punch and go punch on a punching bag and not on your mate. You know, you don't want to punch on your mate. You don't want to punch on your mate. So what do you think about that?
Well,
he said, well,
when you're not practicing caring for one another, if you're not looking for the good, if you're not looking for the good of each other, that brings about separatism. When people feel in a relationship where they are not being cared for, loved, nurtured, and respected, their presence, they get in a withdrawn stage. You know what I mean? I'll do what I'm supposed to do for the sake of being in the commitment, but am I really here? No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I'll do what I have to do for my responsibility. But when separatism sets in, then that's when the the enemy, the devil, can come in and plant seeds that start lying to the minds of each person, telling them this person don't want you no more, that person don't want you no more. And all the time the fighting is unnecessary because both people be having the same intentions in mind. Sometimes two people got the same intention in mind. Say they want to plan something or goal or do something together. Uh-huh. Well, one may have this idea, another may have another idea, but it's for the same goal. But what happens is because each one has a different method and by way of they wanted to reach this goal. Now, instead of communication saying, okay, baby, let's try it this way first, and if it don't go right this way, let's try it that way. Well, then both people will be respected. Nobody will feel like, well, you didn't really care about my opinion. You just went on and did this, blah, blah, blah. But if it's a slight communication, well, then each one of you will know, well, we got the same goal in mind. Or somebody has to be mature to tell the other person, hey, look, we're pushing for the same goal. You're just doing it that way, and I'm doing it this way. Now, to keep down any dissension or anything like that, let us work on your piece to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Let's work on my piece to see how it goes. Whichever piece goes the best toward the goal, well, then that's the method we'll take. But you don't have to argue and fight about who's right and who's wrong when you're both headed toward the same goal. Your intentions are the same, but your communication about the method you are using, that's where the disagreement comes in. But you want success. Both people, I believe both people, when they get married, I think they want success in the marriage. But the way they go about it, I think somebody looks at somebody and say, well, you ain't moving fast enough. And the other person will say, well, you ain't moving fast enough. Well, you both still want success in the marriage. So that's agreement right there. So all you got to do is work on the agreement that you both have made. When you took those vows, you both agreed to look out to each other, love each other, don't put nothing else before each other. Well, those vows seem to be put on the back burner at times because people start putting things in front of the husband. The husband will put things in front of the wife. The wife got her friends that she catered to. The husband got his friends he catered to. So after a while, everybody got their different opinion about everything, so they go a different way. And that's the enemy, that's when the devil come in and steal the love, steal the love that could be kindling. Now, then some people say, well, I'm not going to try to force a person that's committed to disagree with me. They have made up in their mind. Well, some relationships be like that because they have dictatorship coming in outside of the marriage. Okay? What is that to say? You can listen to your friends too much because your friends is not married to your husband. They married or they going with the person. Outside interference can cause people to grow apart, especially if the two people are not mature to handle their own affairs. The two people must be able to handle their own affairs. That's why the Bible say they left mama and daddy and clinged unto their husband or to their wife. So you can't allow other people's opinion to dictate your marriage when you and the person that you had the vows with, y'all live behind them walls. Y'all pay those bills. Y'all pay the cardinal. If you got children, y'all got to take care of the children. None of the people that are influencing any kind of influence is going to pay one bill for you. But they are influencing until they watch you fall from your goals or your planning to reach your goals.
Commitment.
You know?
Your commitments,
From your commitment. So if we don't work on oneness
And the only way that you can work on oneness, you got to keep each other feeling good. You got to keep each other heart feeling good. You got to keep each other mind at peace. You got to keep each other with that idea that this person that I marry is for me forever. Mm-hmm. And that person got to exemplify those actions. I'm with you forever. If I don't exemplify those actions and I start acting like I don't care, I start acting like I don't want to be around you, I start acting like I don't want to give you nothing, I don't want to share nothing, if you go the opposite way, you'll get the opposite effect. But if you go the right way, that you start off with love and can't stay away from one another, need one another, and got to have one another, talking to each other all the time, the same thing that you started out with to cause that person to want to say, I do, you got to keep that going.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is so true. That is so true. And people don't realize that. They don't realize that.
No, they don't realize.
They don't realize that they have to go back, you know. And sometimes it's like, baby, let's just take a step back and breathe and go back to the days of when we were dating, when we were in love. Let's go back to those days. Some people are like, boy, them days are gone. They ain't coming back no more. But they could. They could very well come back.
They really don't have to leave if you keep adding to the fire. The fire won't go out if you keep adding wood to the fire. In other words, if you kissed her every time you saw her, when she get in that house, when y'all get married, you should kiss her even more. Hey, if you grabbed her and hugged on her and she just melted when you grabbed and hugged on her before you got married, you need to practice the same thing. Do it more. Do it till she say, "Well, hey, baby, can I have 10 minutes to breathe?" Yeah, take 10 minutes. After the 10 minutes, give her another one, you know?
Is it 10 minutes yet? I'm putting the timer on.
It breaks up simply because affection is not shown all the time. Uh-huh. Some people got to have love all the time.
Right. Yeah, they do.
Some people got to have love all the time. Some people got to be kissed on all the time in the relationship. Some people got to be held. You got to hold their hands in the relationship. They want to feel love. That's why they gave themselves to the other person, because they want that person to do nothing but love them like they can't be loved no more. And that's what we're supposed to practice.
Love them and love on them.
Love them, that's love on them. Give them if money makes them happy, well then guess what you do? You say, "We're here." You of course you have to make some sense of that. If you got bills, you got house loans, everything, you gotta take care of that stuff, but you got to do it together in love. Make every person in that relationship feel loved and feel wanted.
That's true.
Don't talk to your friend better than you talk to me. Don't be more nicer to your man friend than you are to me. Because it's going to create a problem. I'm going to feel like you're disrespecting my presence. If you got a man outside of the wedding, if you got a man or a woman outside of the wedding that you treating more nicer than you treat the person inside of the matrimony, then it's going to be a problem.
Right.
Nobody should come before that mate. Nobody should come before that spouse. The biggest of your energy must be applied to the person that you're sleeping with every night.
Children.
And if you stayed there, hello? Is that Mr. Eddie on the phone?
Yeah, that's Bro Eddie. How's it going, Eddie?
Greetings. Good evening, Eddie. All. Good evening, family.
Good evening.
Children
are
important, too,
them?
Now.
The children are important, yes.
Yep. Very important.
The children.
Mm-hmm. And we're on the topic or the subject of still relationships. Why do they fail? But we're on fighting. You fight all the time, and so you know sometimes you fight over the children. You know. So on and so forth. Well, you know, you let Annie do this and you let Bobby do that. No, you know, you need to come together on rearing your children up. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. That is what you're supposed to do. So, So, my brother from another mother, Joe, has also joined us. So we have on the panel so far, Joe, Reverend Ron, and Brother Eddie. Bruh Eddie is. How's everybody?
Hello.
How are you doing? How's everybody doing?
Good. Thank you all for joining. So, the next one we're talking about is running from a fight. Avoiding fights is one of the reasons why relationships fail. It means that you both don't care about each other. We grew up knowing fighting to be a negative thing. Hence, we tend to avoid them, thinking they will strengthen our relationship. Fights are inevitable. So you should be looking for ways to manage rather than avoid them. If not, it is one of the signs your relationship is failing. So you want to talk on that, Bro Eddie?
Yeah, well, coming up, when my mother and father had a difference of opinion or was upset with each other, they did like the mafia used to do. They'd go in the other room. So
thank you.
I never experienced that. I ain't never heard furniture being moved around in the room. I ain't never heard no loud voices. So never really had to deal with that, even in my relationships. You know, that was one of those non-negotiables. I said, if you mad with me, you wait till you calm down and we can talk about it. If I got a grievance with you, we're going to talk just like I'm talking right now. I'm not going to raise my voice at you, and nor am I going to accept you raising your voice at me. I ain't come out your womb, and I didn't assist with bringing you into this realm, so...
And Joe, what is your take on that? Running from a fight.
I think what Bro Eddie, aka Michael. It is Michael, right?
All
Eddie,
day.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Y'all funny.
Yeah, I think that what he said is absolutely correct. First, he's telling people his boundaries. And he's telling people it's non-negotiables, which is what we talked about on Wednesday. You know, these are the things that I will accept. These are the things I will not accept. So, yeah, I happen to agree with him, and I agree with that principle. People have to know how to have conflict resolution. Now, some people might say, okay, look, I'll let you, you know, run out of the room for a half an hour because if that's your particular style, then fine. But then after half an hour, we have to talk. Two people have to know. And the important thing about relationships is that they have to have trust. If they trust each other, you know?
Then you can
accept certain behavior because you will only put up with it for a little while, and that person will only display the bad behavior for a little while because people aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I happen to agree with that principle. Learn conflict resolution. Yeah.
Okay. And Reverend Ron?
You know, if people would change the practice of tradition, what am I saying? If people told you, hey, you're going to have disagreements, you're gonna argue. You're gonna fight. You're gonna disagree. Mm-hmm. That's been what they call thrown into a relationship, and it's been thrown in there by tradition. I do not have to work to disagree with my mate. I don't mm-hmm. have to sit around. I don't have to sit around and think of something to be disgusted about my mate. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to. I don't have to be waiting on something to argue for or to disagree for. I don't have to do that. I can be practicing applying love all the time. And I know some people say, well, you can't mm-hmm. do it all the time. But you can practice doing it all the time. And the more you practice,
right.
the better you get at it. If a fight is brewing, well, then let me do something mm-hmm. non-traditional. Let me grab her and kiss her.
Mm. Amen.
She might say, stop, mm-hmm. don't do that. But if you keep kissing her, guess what she's going to do? She's going to eventually kick you back.
She's gonna soak into you like rainwater, Rev. She's gonna soak mm-hmm. into you like rainwater, like the whispers used to say back in the day.
But you understand what I'm saying? Let's change. If relationships change the practice, instead mm-hmm. of looking for a relationship mm-hmm. of like say two people before you argued and fussed and so on and as such,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to go in my relationship with that frame of mind. Cause that's not a good
uh-huh.
thing. I don't want to take none of the bad habits of the past or what I've seen in the past. I don't want to take it into
mm-hmm.
a brand new relationship. I want to give this brand new relationship some brand new action.
Right, mm. right. Mm-hmm.
If we argue, we fuss. Let's change that method. Let's start practicing having joy and having peace with each other. Let's
mm-hmm.
work on this. Let's talk about it. Let's work on it. Instead of you being upset, your blood pressure flying up, let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do mm-hmm. something that's going to cause your heart to palpitate at a normal rate, not palpitating about to give you a heart attack because you're upset. You don't marry people.
Right.
You don't go through the principle of I do and I'll be there with you for life. To do nothing but fight and argue and be mad and be mean towards one another, start disliking. What about this person that I said I love so much? How do I turn from loving them more than anything to hating them?
Mm.
How do I do that?
What was the reason?
Why do I?
Uh-huh.
What? Because mm-hmm. I'm spending too much time not loving mm-hmm. them. I'm spending too much time trying to figure out them instead of loving
mm-hmm.
them. See, if you try to just spend years and years figuring out a person, then you do more figuring
mm-hmm.
than you do loving.
That's right.
But if you're applying that love consistently, if you're applying that love consistency,
mm-hmm.
you're applying joy consistency, if you're applying peace, if you're doing this, if your actions are doing this, then you can draw the other person into doing that too. But somebody got to have an hour or two more maturity. That they can predict some of the things that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Taking the high road.
So I think the practice should change for its relationships is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Reverend, I knew of a woman. Oh, I'm sorry, Ness.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
There was a woman on Blog Talk Radio that I met years ago. And she said that if she got into an argument, all she'd have to do is if she had a boyfriend who just grabbed her and kissed her, was a good kisser, she would just melt. And that would end the argument right then and there.
Right.
That wasn't Lucy Lorraine. But I know. We had talked about, you know, when, you know, our parents would go into the bedroom and, you know, do whatever they did, discuss, argue, whatever, you know, whatever they did. And that may be a thing, I don't know if it was a bad thing, but maybe we didn't figure out how to argue. So we just brought it out of the bedroom and brought it in front of the children. Then we bring it out to the streets, and then we bring it wherever we are, you know. And so I'm just being devil's advocate. So was that a good thing?
I could feel your heat, devil. I could feel your heat.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, maybe we don't know how to argue, and you know, our parents knew how to, you know, take it, like you say, into the bedroom and discuss and, you know, whatever, or wait till we were asleep, because I don't think I ever in the 50-some-odd years see my mom and dad argue, I think, once, you know, some funky. But other than that, I had never seen them argue. My dad never raised his hand to her, maybe to us, but not to me, but to the boys. But as far as you know, learning how to disagree, learning how to do conflict resolution, learning how to keep peace in the house and what have you. I mean, they may take a bottle outside and drink until whatever, but I'm not talking about my people, my parents, but I mean, different people, and that's maybe how they resolve their conflict. But a lot of us don't know how to argue. We don't know how to resolve conflict. And I was telling Reverend Ron earlier, I didn't know he was getting into WWE or WWF or MMA or, you know, going to punch and crunch lessons and stuff like
yep.
that. You know, when a person gets married, you know, I didn't know I was going to have to, you know, put on some boxing gloves. Put on boxing gloves and learn how to protect myself from my husband, the one who says, you know, I love you till death do us part. Well, you trying to kill me? Right. Is that the part that you're trying to get to me? You know. So we need to learn to either just step away from the situation until we, like, you know, take some breaths and get that, you know, conflict resolution going, or just like, you know, but you're not supposed to go to bed, they say,
angry,
you know,
yeah.
with
right.
angry, you know. So let's get yeah. this off the table so we can start tomorrow fresh, you know. But a lot of us, you know, all we know is, you know, John Boy down the street beating up his girl, or, you know, somebody taking a bat to somebody, or somebody throwing their wife down the steps, or the husband out the window, or whatever. That's how some people know, so they don't know real conflict resolution. So that may have to be, as Reverend Ron said, maybe have to a trained thing, or, you know, not really trained, but, you know, teach people how to have conflict resolution. But you know what I mean? Because they may not know how to argue. They may not know how to fight peaceably or without lifting their hands. So, you know, honey, we're getting ready to have a fight. Well, then put me in handcuffs and cuff me to the table. You know, you be in handcuffs and cuff yourself to the table so we don't hurt nobody. You know, if that's what we have to do, like we're being interrogated. But, you know, I have never seen or heard my parents argue, period. You know, and so... You know, I was, I guess, one of the lucky children that never had that issue. But then again, we were probably put to bed, and then they may have argued or whatever, but I don't know. So I don't know if y'all want to comment on what I just said.
Yeah,
uh-huh,
Reverend,
go ahead.
The Reverend was right about practicing love and practicing getting away from the traditional mindset of where, you know, you're going to fuss, you're going to fight. Yeah,
right,
I believe
right.
that you are, but you shouldn't have to accept it as part of a 24-hour, everyday.
Correct.
Because you're going to have disagreements, and you have to have conflict resolution, whether they're loud or they're not loud. As long as you know how, and another what I'm getting to is that, the boundaries have to be important, because we've heard of the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, and if you've seen the video between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, there definitely needed to be some conflict resolution skills there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
you can give, you know, you may have all the best conflict resolution skills in the world, but if that person wants to, like Amber Heard was alleged to have done, was to create drama, to create fights. If you married a partner like that, then you set up boundaries. If they violate those boundaries once too often, you know you can't resolve anything with that person. You've got to leave.
Yes. You got to take care of yourself.
Look at Chris Brown
and
Rihanna. I apologize.
No, you're fine.
Look at Chris Brown and Rihanna. He did an interview, I believe it was on Opie, one of those shows, and he talked about how he was raised and what he's seen most of his life, and he would never do that.
Right.
Now, nobody ever asked him how was his relationship with Rihanna. Because from what he was saying, she was always hitting on him, and it was that way with her. So because one day either he grabbed her or whatever the case may be to protect himself from her hitting him with her high heel, you know, it got in the paper. I mean, maybe that was an agenda to get her to ascend higher as far as her celebrity status. I don't know. But it's sad that he was, you know, basically castrated because of it. Nobody basically would let him speak his side, and she wasn't really saying anything. It's just so many things, but overall, simplicity. You have the rules of the house. Your house is supposed to be a sanctuary. I'll just say this and then I'll be done. Your house is supposed to be a sanctuary. That's supposed to be a place of healing, rejuvenation,
refuge,
and peace.
Refuge. That's right.
You're always going to have a disagreement from time to time.
Your house is your is your castle. And both people should reside in that castle in a very loving, appreciative way, so that that castle can present and perpetuate peace. Absolutely. I know one guy. He says, we asked him, "What is it that you want in a girlfriend?" Right out of his head came one word: peace.
I think Dustin even said that he just wants peace. That he's not on the line tonight, but I know he said, you know, that's one thing that he wanted, you know, peace with his girlfriend or his wife or what have you. Just let me get in the house and let me just, you know, debrief and have a little bit of peace before we go into a lot of things, because a lot of times men and women, when they come in from work, have things on their mind. And the first thing you do when they come in the house, they get nagged on. It's like, then that starts a fight. It's like, you know, so just let somebody come in and debrief in there the way that they need to, and then converse, you know, because that will ease a lot of hate and fighting and what have you. So that's good. That's, you know, that's real good. But, you know, just let me debrief a minute. Let me go take a shower. Let me take my shoes off. Let me just, you know. But I used to attack my daddy. I attacked my daddy because when he came home from work, it's not a bad attack, because I used to have a peanut butter jar in the cupboard. And because he loved peanut butter, so I would attack him on his shoes. He was in the service, so he had on them big old work boots, and he had, well, four kids, and then he had another one 7 years after me. But we would all just, you know, love on him, because that's what we did. We would love on our daddy. But, you know, that's a different kind of love than what other people would have. So it just depends on how you're raised. And I know we had some good raising up in our family. So that's it. I know we have Reverend Carolyn Williamson has joined us. And then we have with the last four of 4988. Who is the caller, please? 4988.
This is Keith. Keith calling.
Hey, Keith.
Hey,
good,
Keith.
Good, good. Thank you.
Hey,
good.
Brother, how are you? And Keith, how y'all doing?
Not Keith.
In the house.
From Jacksonville. And we got
hello, Reverend, and hello, Troublemaker.
Yes. Come on, and Reverend Carolyn and Keith from Jacksonville.
Hey, don't start in on her already, man. Give her a breather.
Let her enter into the house first before you start jumping on her. But we have we have Bruh Eddie, we have Reverend Ron, and we have Troublemaker Joe on the line.
Joe.
That's who we have in the house so far.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Joe. Yes, we are not mean Joe.
Yeah.
So that's her. So thank you all for joining us. But we were just talking about fighting.
Yeah.
running from a fight and trying to avoid fights and what have you. So that's the topic we're discussing. That was number three. So that's where we are right now. Who was the caller going to say something?
Yes, I was going to say, I don't need my mate. I'm generalizing, but I'm using me. But I don't need my mate to bring the old love she had for her ex to me. I don't care how good you thought he was. I don't care how bad you thought he was. Whatever y'all had going on, I don't want none of y'all reasoning in my relationship. Give me an opportunity. Give yourself an opportunity to step in something new with each other. I don't want Larry's love, because you and Larry didn't make it. So if you bring me what y'all had and y'all broke up, he's an ex and you an ex, well, then I don't need that coming to me. That information is bad information. Let's start off fresh, brand new, as we are, and then let's build our relationship upon truth, the spirit of truth. Don't bring me what you and Earl and them had, because you and Earl and them was cheating on each other. Y'all practiced fighting. Y'all was mad all the time. And you just did a bunch of crazy stuff all together. That's why you became X. I don't want X information. I do not want X information, because it's not good enough. That's why it's X. Bring your mind that you have, and then allow some new stuff to be transferred to your mind that would give you a new ideal outside of what you and Earl them had, and y'all broke up.
What did Jody Watley say? I'm looking for a new love. I'm looking for a new love. So don't let Larry's love, as you say, Earl's ego, or Ronnie's raunchiness come into this situation. No, ain't going to happen. No, You're looking for
see what the sisters got to say,
Johnny.
Doc.
Say that again.
I would like to hear what the women have to say.
Okay, as far as fighting.
Yeah, the topic of the night.
Okay.
And what Doc Rev spoke to.
Yeah, running from a fight is number three as far as the 15 things that know that your relationship is failing. So, Key, would you run from a fight or would you stay in fight?
I've been in both situations. So, I think when you stay...
That's my girl.
In a fight, when you stay... in a fight, things explode. It doesn't diffuse, because especially if you have two strong people, then it's a no resolve because one or both actually will refuse to back down because their stance is going to be their stance. But sometimes with that kind of result, it's easier to walk away, because if you put in energy with no resolve, then you just get baited into a situation you don't want to be in. So I guess the healthy approach would be to just walk away. But that's just how I feel about it.
Okay.
I know I'm one of them strong people, because, I mean, if I engage, it could last for days and weeks, and
that's not a healthy
place. That's toxic. And
right.
You can't grow, and you won't get what you need. So it's just easier to put your track shoes on.
Okay. And Reverend Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am.
She might be drunk. Have you ever, I won't say have you ever, what do you think of the topic of running from a fight on a failing relationship?
Say that again.
What do you think about the topic running from a fight in a failing relationship?
running from a fight. Mm-hmm. And what's in a relationship?
Would you?
In a family relationship?
Yeah, and that's what we talk about. Relationship, yes, because the topic of the evening
is relationship. It's about relationship, but I'm trying to understand your question. Do you run from the fight or do you stay? Is that the question you're asking me?
Yes. Would you run or would you stay?
Oh, you're going to personalize it. Well, bless the Lord. I promise to stay and trust the Lord and lean and depend on him and keep my focus on him, because it takes two to tangle, as they say. And just because I say that don't mean I got to fight. I can let God fight for you. Vengeance belongs to him. Mm-hmm. So with me personally, I stay and not fight and let God fight for me. Hallelujah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We go for that.
That's what I do.
Joe, what do you think on her response? Because I know you got something to say.
Yeah, well, of course she's bringing God into it. So, that would be kind of the expected response. So, you know, everybody who's mainly religious would look to God for guidance. For myself, I would stay in a fight, but I would have a caveat. I would tell my supposed loved one that, we've been fighting too long, too often about something which I don't understand. If I am at fault, I hope I would have the kind of wherewithal to say, I am sorry. If that doesn't satisfy her, and if she continues with the fighting, then I'd have to really elevate my boundaries. I'd have to tell her, look, babe, okay, as far as I'm concerned, I think I hear you. I think I've listened to you. I think I've fed back to you what you've told me. But yet, we're still fighting about the same thing or the similar thing over and over again. I'm sorry, baby, but you're wearing me down. And if we continue, and I'm, much longer, you're going to go, or I'm going to go, and since this is my house, you're leaving.
Since this is my house, you're leaving. Okay. Because we did talk about communication in an earlier segment that we had. What do you hear when she says this, or what does she hear when you say such and such? So it all comes down to, again, the communication. I mean, be it verbal, be it, physical, be it something, you got to communicate. That's the basic thing. You got to communicate. If she puts your back up against the wall, if you put her back up against the wall, the wall's got to come down. The wall has got to come down.
Yeah.
Instead of being up there and fighting, because what's a fight going to do? Black eyes, big lips, dentures, new dentals, as I always say, because you see it on TV, being thrown into the table, the glass table as it gets broken, type of thing. And so it doesn't have to be like that. Go to your cool off period. Hey, babe, let's come back to this after we both cool down so that we can, have a clearer mind and clearer view of what we are really fighting about and over so we can get through this. If you love me like you say you do and I love you like I say I do, we can get through this, but you got to communicate. That's all. That's it. Comments on this?
Yes, good point. Very good point. Also, instead of the vindictive approach or the fighting approach, why not love and kindness? Now, if I work from love and kindness, in other words, if my mate is not mature enough to respond to me in a peaceful way, and I'm practicing love and kindness in the relationship, well, she's going to get one or the other, okay? She's going to get, when she's mad and angry and want to be a hellion,
Well, then, if I'm applying love and kindness, she's not going to get a fight. She going to either get love or she's going to get kindness. Now, some people say, well, how do you apply love and kindness to a person that's vindictive and they want to be violent and so on and as such? Well, how do you calm a gorilla? You get him a banana, ooh, something he likes. and that applies to the effect of kindness. Okay?
Okay.
And then somebody say, well, what if you don't have accessibility to something that they like and they are all stormy? Well, I can give them love. And how do I give them love? Hey, baby, calm down. We're gonna make it happen. You know. Mm-hmm. What do you mean we're gonna make it happen? Mm-hmm. This bill is due right now. What you? Well, baby, look. If God gave us the resources to make the bill, then He gonna make provision mm-hmm. for us to pay the bill too.
All right.
Somebody mm-hmm. got to have a God fearing conscience that's pure,
mm-hmm.
not wrapped mm-hmm. up mm-hmm. in all of the past hurts. See, people are trying to surge freedom, and they're trying to surge togetherness, but they're trying to surge it out of a heart of pain. You can't do it.
Mm.
Hurt people hurt mm. other people. People that's rejected
mm-hmm.
and fighting rejection, guess what's happening?
Uh-huh.
They're going to end something right away. They don't have time. They don't have time to work with it. But when you apply love and kindness, It's just like a hurt animal. When you wise enough to see that animal leg is hurt and he can't move mm-hmm. around, and love is going to make you say, well, let me at least get him out of the entanglement. Well, you got to have the same mm-hmm. kind of attitude about the person that you're living with. I don't want to end my relationship. I don't want my marriage to fail. I don't want us to walk out because we had a fight and I go get a woman, she go get a man. No, you don't want that. You got to be wise mm-hmm. enough to hold the house together with love and kindness and learn how to master the relationship with the attributes of the Spirit. Now, some people say, well, man, how can spirituality? But if carnality don't work, then you need to try spirituality. If carnalisticism mm. and mundanism is not working in your relationship, then it's time for you to take on a new attitude. In other words, see, let me just run this by y'all, and then I'll pause here. But there are two mm. different natures. There are two different natures. There's what you call an Adamic nature, which is the fallen nature of mankind. And then there's Adamic nature. You got fighting, you got bickering, you got jealousy, you got envy, you got murder, you got all kind of bad things that comes with the Adamic falling nature. And the Adamic falling nature is just simply the Adam fall from when he fell mm-hmm. from grace with God. Okay? Then you got a nature that's a new nature when you get it, when you come out of the Adamic nature and you come into God. You start practicing. Your practical way of life is a way that represents nothing but peace, joy, love, tolerance, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. You've got to be tolerant with your mate. And you've got to do it from a standpoint of view, man, to the point where you're looking at her, and also while you're looking at her, while she's in her rage, you can calm her rage. Sometimes you got to grab your woman by the hand and say, baby, let's go do something else right now, and we'll come back to that. Get her calmed down. You could calm her down when you first met her.
and vice versa. That means females can do that too. Females can do the same. Baby, come on. Let's go take a walk. Let's just breathe a minute. Let's go get some air. So that's what we need before we get entangled into something that, you know,
let's kiss.
May lead us down the road.
Let's just kiss.
I like the part where Reverend was talking about grabbing her by the hair. The only thing is I'd be on TV about 2 minutes later being accused of of the Me Too movement.
Me Too. We said grab. Yeah. We didn't say yank her arm out of her socket.
No.
Is that a,
grab her hand.
No.
Yeah, grab her hand and say, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Let's do this right here, you know? She might look at you and say, I don't want to do that right now. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree. Right. I think that aggressiveness of love to show her, I am not running away. I'm going to stand here in front of you, and we are going to work things out.
Right.
Could have a real resolution with a person who is amenable to that, who is open to that.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what percentage of the population would actually be open to that, because if they're in a fiery mood, you know, they may feel that they want to be calmed down, but they also may feel they want to express themselves in a very negative way. So it takes some, it takes a lot of patience in order for the positive love approach, I think, to work. And I'm all for it, because it doesn't seem like anything else is really working that much nowadays when you have divorces of people who have been married for the first time, around 53-55%. And then when they get married, the divorce rate's even higher. So we need new conflict resolution methods.
Well, Joe, look at this right here, you all. How many chances do we give a dog? How many chances do we give an animal?
Not very
many. He can use the bathroom in the house. He can use the bathroom on the porch. You know what? All you're going to say is, that's a dog. That's what he's supposed to do. But now you don't want to clean that up all the time. You get mad at him. But look at the chance that you give the dog. If he turns something over, if he tears up the furniture, you're not going to kill the dog or throw the dog away. You're going to say, that's my pet. Well, now, wait a minute. If we can give an animal chances 24 hours in a day, and love him like he's a real human being. You mean to tell me the person that I said I do with and I'm committed to love them forever, I cannot be tolerant with them? The Bible said it and the priest told you standing at the altar. He said, for better or for worse. You should have got in the frame of mind right then. As a man, I'm gonna be able to deal with any part that comes out of this person.
There's more to it than that. Some people do not have.
There is more to it than that. Yes, you're right.
So you can extend all the love and all the kindness. You can bend over backwards, turn the other cheek, and do all these things, and the other person could still not make changes or make the adjustments within themselves. They have control freaks. I mean. And that go on both sides nowadays, but you can have the one person who's just, okay, I'm just going to love you through this and extend you kindness, and then you mistreat it. And then they're getting beat on and thrown downstairs and thrown out of cars or worse. So there has to be some alternative other than spirituality, because not everybody has spiritual beliefs. And even if they don't have belief in a crisis, they might say, my God, or God, help me, because that's just the place that they are, even if they do not have those beliefs. So what you're saying has some, aim for this concept, but the reality is that's not the mindset of all people. And you can't love everybody through everything.
Well, wait a minute. Now, okay, you say spirituality is not the roadway, but now what about the carnality world that they live in without spirituality? Is that working?
Well, everybody's situation is different. I mean, the whole world is carnal if you think about it, but that's...
And it's in bad shape. It's in bad shape too, right?
Okay, well, if you were not a spiritual person, then you would not be in agreement with this. So not everybody's in that line of thinking.
Well, shouldn't
doesn't
they get
mean,
that?
Well, let me just let me jump in here for just a minute. The sister said, making sure with all this
mental, emotion, verbal, throwing downstairs and throwing out the car, or just physically beating you.
Mm-hmm.
I think God gives you wisdom now that if a man, or even if it's the other way around, a woman is hitting on a man, I think, and this is Christian or not, but especially Christian,
uh-huh.
yeah, you can pray, but when it comes to verbal abuse, comparing to just being argumentative or got a nag, male or female, just want to nag and having a bad day and don't want to come around, that's a different story. But when it comes to physical abuse, when it comes to verbal abuse, okay, especially physical, because I'm me personally, this is me personally, I'm like a duck, okay? You picture a duck in the pond, and you got a lot of other ducks making a whole lot of noise. And hell is falling on the duck, and rain and snow and sleep, but the duck that's got a focus, they let them others keep on quacking, they quack by themselves, but that duck, it keep on going upstream. So my point is, I'm like a duck. I can handle a lot of talk. I can handle a lot of fussing because I don't have to fuss with you. I don't have to go in your party. You can party all by yourself like a fool. That's where I am on a spiritual note. But when it comes to physical, laying your hands on me, throwing me down, or even pushing me off the seat, you got another tune. I think God said, hey, it's time for somebody to go. And I'm like the brother, if it's my house, you got to go. I'm sorry. Because God didn't call me. He didn't make me to be abused by nobody, whether male or female.
Right.
No, if we can't get along, you can't keep your hands to yourself. You can't keep your mouth shut when you're having a bad day or having a thorn in your side, whatever the maze may be, and you're not willing to communicate. Okay, let's draw. I'd say it like this. Let's kill the duck, and let's kill him real quick before somebody else get hurt. So, I ain't no laying no hands on me. Not like that. Because I don't want to hurt nobody. I'm saved, and I'm sanctified, and I'm Holy Ghost filled. And I got good sense. But if you lay your hands on me, we're gonna have to see another side.
Especially you're going to put some Vaseline on your eyebrows, huh?
I'm trying to work with you, and I'm being patient with you, and you want to lay your hands on me. Now, it ain't going to take but one time for that to happen, just one time.
That's too many
and
times.
I ain't going to hurt you, but somebody got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to hurt you, because you ain't worth my time of trying to hurt you or even being incarcerated because I laid my hands on you.
Right.
So, and the law don't play in this day and time. If you say, boom, he hit me or she hit me, they are arresting you.
Somebody's
in a heartbeat.
Going.
That's,
yeah,
right.
They're arresting you. So I think we better.
Bro, Eddie. Bro, Eddie, what do you want to respond to Reverend Carolyn? Because I know you got to say something.
Yeah, no, she's absolutely right. See, my thing is that's another reason why communication is so important.
Amen.
You'll see in dialogue, if you listen intently, what's going on in a person. Like you're saying, you come home from work or you home from work before the other person is, and you see they're having a bad day, you give them their time, give them their space.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to talk about it. If they don't want to talk about it, you leave them alone. You know, there's a lot of things to do in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to go in the back room to paint the ceiling and stay away from a person until they get their stuff together. You know, but overall, going back to those rules of engagement, if you got rules that you abide by, and both parties is willing to agree to those rules, it's like, say, raising your voice is rule three. You just say rule three. You know, if that don't calm them down, you say rule three again. That don't calm them down. You say, well, I'm using the other rules in the other book, which is rule five. You're not willing to respect yourself and talk to me, so I'm going in the other room. That's all.
Okay.
They don't calm down. Mm-hmm. Then it just like, you know, Rev said, somebody's going to have to go. because it has to be peace. And
right.
If once you really understand, and it is important to find out what both of y'all been through in previous relationships. You know, what kind of relationship your mother and father had as you were coming up. All of these things are important if that person is going to be your significant other. If y'all going to co-inhabitate or whatever the case may be, y'all going to be friends. You know, because there are words that are triggers to some people who haven't fully healed. You know?
Right.
You could say kneecap and somebody might go ham.
And that's another thing, Brother Eddie, if I can add to what you're saying, that's another thing. Healing should be a process for everybody that comes out of a relationship that didn't work before they go jumping into another relationship.
Right.
Should give yourself chance to get over that person. Now, some people say, sometimes you may not never get over a person. Well, to me, you can. You can get over a person because absence will separate the person from you. Well, if I have a mental train of thinking of peace, and if I've done away with all of the hurt and the pain and all of this stuff, I put it behind me because I don't want to carry nothing into this relationship that would defile it. And if I carry old pain, old deception, old everything, if I carry that into that new relationship, it can be an inkling. It's going to create problems. It's going to create problems. I do not need the methods of the past for something new. Let me create something new.
Yeah. Go ahead, finish up forever. Sorry.
Let me create something new. And how do I create something new out of an old tradition? I have to take on a whole new nature or either a whole new method of doing things. Whereas if I used to fight and compete and so forth with my mate, let me just practice. Hey, I got a new person. They're attracted to me. I love them. They love me. Let's go on in love. Why we can't just live in love? Why do there have to be argument? Why do there have to be disagreement? Well, when people are committed to disagree with you, then guess what? They're going to disagree with you. When people are committed to make you angry and make you upset, they're going to do that. So what do? You say, okay, well, this is a brand new thing. Let the woman work from a new standpoint of view. Let the man work from a new standpoint of view. And what is that new standpoint of view? Something that we haven't done. We haven't held hands unto our God together. Now, I agree. Don't hit me. Don't put your hands on me. I'm not going to put my hands on you. And if I see where you're going to do that, I'm going to stop you right away. Baby, that's not necessary. Let's not do this. Let's just calm down. If you a man, that woman, if y'all got 50% of sense, you can come together on a solution. You can come together on a solution. If you can
both
come together after
a
bad fight and go to bed together and have relations and all that, you can come together on a solution too. Some men and women fight so bad, hurt each other, and get into bed and have relations. Now, if you can come out of a bad fist fight and lay down and have relations, you can come to a resolution before the fist fight starts.
That's called makeup.
Can I finish my comment?
Yeah, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
See, that's another reason why, again, it's so important to really take the time to get to know someone. Because in conversation, you could see if they're truly healed. You could see if there's something that's still challenging or troubling them. And sometimes vice versa. You know, sometimes you even need to observe yourself in interaction with that individual. Because just because everything looks good and it somewhat feels good, you know, it still might bring out something in you that you might not have fully dealt with. So, but everything I say, you walk slow. Walk slow and take your time.
Okay. Walk slow. Just kind of take a slow stride, you know. So, I mean, if you're going to be in for the long haul, I can't say you got forever, but at least you have each day to walk with that person and see how they feel and see exactly where their mind is. Because a lot of times, you know, if you get into a relationship and the next thing you know that this person has, quote unquote, mental issues, then you have to handle them a whole different way, too. True enough?
Well, I agree with you on that. And I agree with the Reverend, of course, with his approach about the positive, even if it's forceful, positive love. The thing is, you also mentioned, Reverend, and what we're also talking about as well, is that if there are people who are committed to having that argument, okay, you can do everything in the world. I've talked to this relationship counselor that comes on Block Talk Radio every once in a while. She considers herself an expert on narcissist personality disorder. Now, the thing about it is that people have heard about that particular term, but the way that she describes it, something new came out of her particular experience that she related to me, is that there are people who, when they actually have this NPD, they actually search for people that they can hurt deliberately. So it's not as though they have bad relationships and they can't heal from it. They just have the mindset, I want to search for somebody that I can deliberately hurt. So with that person, nothing you can do or say is going to deter that person from trying to hurt you. So that's why I believe that the boundaries are especially important, because you can apply all the love methods. You can have the correct mindset. But if you have gotten the wrong person in front of you because that person has hidden their true self from you and you think that you've got, you know, hopefully the right one, but then you find out that that person is really showing their true colors, you've got to say to yourself, okay, I've done everything I could. I've listened. I've conversed with this person. I've had that person agree with me, but they're still violating my boundaries, which to me personally means that you are either lying to me or you are so neurotic that I don't care what happens now. You've got to go because you are showing me your true colors. If you're showing me that you're always violating my boundaries after agreeing that those boundaries should not be crossed and you're still crossing them, you know, hasta la vista, baby.
Okay. I have my hand raised. So,
you
get married to... Yes, I do. I have a few questions. But you get married, okay? And then the next thing you know, after you say, I do, you know, blah, 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 take this person home, be it male or female, and they change. This is still relationships, and why do they fail? I'm going to start with Joe. What would you do if they just drastically change? You like, everything's like, they just, not the person who you had been courting for however long you courted them. What would you do in that situation?
I'll try to find out, what is it, what's wrong, babe? What did I do? Well, you did such and such. And I'll try to break it down. Are you sure that this is what the problem is? Because sometimes people, they may think they have healed from the past relationship, but there's something that's going on subliminally, subconsciously, which is going to trigger them to change. Then again, I might have married, you say married, I might have married a narcissist who wanted to really, really destroy my heart. I'm going to try to find out what is the problem. If that person, and this is why I keep going back to boundaries, I will keep setting up. Well, okay, so you're saying that this is the problem if I resolve the problem, then everything will be taken care of, correct? If they say yes, then we supposedly, theoretically, can move on from there. But again, if I get four or five agreements that something I had done four or five times or in four different ways is the problem,
mm-hmm.
now I've resolved mm-hmm. the problem by changing the behavior, which I agree to because I think that my behavior logically could be a trigger to make her change. Now, if she continues to find something wrong with me, and logically, through conversation, through positive aggression, as the Reverend is talking about, that she still mm-hmm. is like that, baby, I've done everything I can. You've agreed that mm-hmm. I've changed. You can't come up with any reason as to why you're always flying off the handle. Guess what, babe? Look to your right. Your bags are packed. See ya.
Okay. Reverend Ron, same question. I'm going to ask everybody the same question. You've been dating a person, and they're all fine, lovey-dovey, prior to getting married. You get married, and then they just change. What would you do in that situation?
Well, observance should be given of a person from get-go, and you should observe their actions. And if they come across with some abnormal action mm-hmm. in the beginning, then you should start questioning what made you do that or where did you get that from. But sometimes people make up stories that are not true already, mm-hmm. and they're already thinking. They create a story, already thinking, so they already got a solution to the problem, which never was a problem, but they created a story, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
In their minds. Nobody has done nothing to them, but the devil came in and made them create this illusion of this person. Well, if they change on me, and I'm observing them from get-go, but then I'm just about up on them already because I've been watching their actions. Now,
okay.
if your actions from get-go is not pleasing to my mind, to my heart, to my soul, if I don't feel that oneness and I feel you withdrawing, well, then from get-go, I'm going to address that. I'm not going to let that pass talking about it'll be all right after I get married. No. Whatever you're doing before you get married, some of that stuff you're going to do when you're married. So okay. if it's addressed by the opposite person in the beginning, then you can do some, you can help them heal or they can help you heal. So when
okay.
you get into the relationship, but then you ain't got to worry about no changes because you've already addressed that situation. And you addressed it not for temporarily, but you addressed it for the long haul. What is it that makes you do this? They'll get to talking and they'll get to tell you, well, in my last relationship, okay, this is not your last relationship. You're not going to mm-hmm. get anything out of this new relationship that you had in your last relationship unless you bring it in. And because it is your last relationship, tell them up front, I don't want to be bothered with that. I want what God mm-hmm. is getting ready to do with us, not with what you failed with in the past. Don't bring me no failed information talking about I need to pass a test. If you bring me some answers that are all wrong, how am I going to pass the test? I don't want that. I do not want your mind set. But this has to be made known from the beginning,
uh-huh.
after you observe it. See, most of the time, people get together, they observe each other for one thing, what you can do in the bedroom, or how much money you got, how comfortable I can be with you having a lot of money. I could have a lot of money, but if my mind from the previous relationship broke up the relationship because I didn't want to share the money, what good is the money going to do you? Go ahead.
The thing is, Reverend, is that, you're talking about if people can't see those particular qualities in another person that are negative, then you can deal with them. But if a person is smart enough or traumatic enough to hold back on expressing those particular qualities and doesn't express them until they're married, then what do you do?
Well, Joe, they're going to do something to let you know they're out of balance from the beginning.
No, no, no. That's what that NPD is all about.
And that's
that
why narcissistic I asked that question.
That narcissistic personality disorder is going to make sure. See, if they know that you have the capability of spotting something wrong with them, they are deliberately going to hide that particular element of their personality until they get married. That's what certain people do in order to make sure that they can have certain assets of certain rich people. Amber Heard may be one of the ones that we know about, but there are people who are gold diggers, for example, who say,
right,
I am going to have this man's assets. And as soon as the man says, I do, they feel safe
mm-hmm.
enough to then change. That's happened in Hollywood all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. well, see, that's the reason why. That's the reason why you want to make sure that your life is in a position with God that you can discern people's character. Now, how do I measure somebody else's character? How do I measure somebody else's character to say what they will do or what they won't do? Are they right or are they wrong? Well, if I'm using facts of truth and I'm operating by the spirit of truth, then guess what? I can measure that person's action. I can tell when this person's spirit is the wrong spirit. Are they listening to the wrong spirit? There's different
okay.
attributes that comes about when people are listening to the wrong spirit, whether it be the devil or whether it be the devil and some more people telling them the wrong thing to do or some more influences in their lives.
Right.
But if I'm dealing with the spirit of truth and that's my practice, see, one thing about it, you can't fool an honest person because they're not going to change their honest practice. So when something comes up that's not honest, that's not right, the person that practices righteousness and honesty, they're not going to be able to migrate with it. They're not going to be able to hang around with it because guess what? It's against the practice of their practical lives.
Hmm.
Now, when you're practicing,
I'm going to have to disagree because you can't bribe an honest man, but you can fool an honest man. And I'm not just talking about female gold diggers. There are men who have been famous for taking women for their money. All the time, they made sure that the woman believed that he was the right one. He was their hero. He was everything that she wanted a man to be because he knew how to read her signals and became that man. Once he became that man, he then stole her heart, stole her money. There are people who are very, very good at deception, Reverend. Very good.
Yes. Yes, there are people good with deception. But also, if you are a fruit inspector, and I'm talking, if you know how to watch people's attributes and you know how to watch the way they maneuver, well, then you can just about, if you're practicing righteousness, then you can just about scope where they are. God will give you when this person is right and when this person is wrong. Now, I'm talking about experience. I'm a widow now. But at the same time, I had an opportunity to live with someone and check out their actions. And after I learned their actions and they learned my practice, well, then guess what happened? Guess what happened? We could work together.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what I had to work on in that person. I knew what I had to work on myself with to be with that person. There are days
Did you
that
train
I thought
her?
About. There are days I thought about, forget it, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm going on my way, let them go on their way, right? But for the sake of my commitment before God and to this person,
mm-hmm.
instead of me quitting, I said, God, give me strength to endure this. If I'm wrong, then let me do the right thing. If she wrong, straighten her out. Do you know when I would speak to God in that sense, because I was honest and I wanted to make it work, you know what he would do? He would console that person's mind, and that person and I would take on a new point of view. So God has to be in between two people he created. Remember? They too became one. So both of them were halves. Both of them was halves because it takes two halves to make a whole. Both of them were halves. So the two halves come together, they make one. The other person in the relationship is God, who created the two halves. And he did give us men how to cultivate our women, because we're cultivators by upon the pornographic makeup God. When he first originally made us, he made us to cultivate. So we have the power to cultivate a woman beyond her unfinishedness. See, they didn't come with a finished product. So if it's not a finished product, somebody got to finish it. And God gave us the men to finish the product of the unfinished product. How do we do it? We have to first learn the mythology to change and to make the unfinished product a finished product. And how do we do that? We can't make it. We cannot change them from where they came from. We can't change that, but we can change them to the principle of where they're going.
Okay. Let's go to Bro Eddie on that question. You still with us? Eddie?
He might be on mute.
Are you on mute? Yeah, he might be on mute.
He's beating his woman.
Stop it. Reverend Carolyn.
I know. That is true. That is true.
He's putting her in her place, right? Tell her to get out the house. He had to put her in so he could tell her to get out the house.
That's what he's doing.
Reverend Carolyn.
He's telling
her. He's so wrong.
He's telling her to leave.
Beyonce say, on the left, to the left, everything you own is in the box on the left, so you all out. You so wrong. You just wrong. But no, Reverend Carolyn.
No.
Oh,
go ahead. You got the. You have the question, Reverend Carolyn.
Reverend Carol.
Carolyn.
She's beating her man.
I'm still here, but I can't hear you. I'm off in a place that I can't hear.
Okay. The question was, you had been courting, you know, the man you're going to marry. And then once you all said, I do, he changed. What would you do in that situation? Would you stay or what would you do?
Well, I'd probably stay. I'd probably stay and work with it and be patient.
Okay.
Because sometimes you date people and you think you know they're all the ins and the outs, and there's little things that you don't know. And then once you've gotten involved or deeply involved and committed to marriage and go through with the marriage, and then you begin to see some tendencies, some attitudes, some actions, or whatever the case may be that you never saw before, then, you know, I go back to the where you at with the Lord as to whether you can handle it. Are you mature enough? Are you growing enough? Are you strong enough to weather the storm and be patient, but talk about it, communication. It's so important so prevalent to any relationship, business, whatever. There's got to be communication. And so sometimes when those things aren't communicated and you find out after you even got in the boat, then I look at it like this. If you loved them before you got in the boat and found out that there was no oars in there, then you got to be patient enough to love him or vice versa her enough to wait for them to climb over this, that he'll be willing to climb over it with them. So that's my opinion, my thought.
Okay. And Key, last but not least.
Okay, well, I'm going to agree with Joe, actually, for the most part. But to answer the question.
Uh-oh, look out.
Shut up. But to answer the question, I mean, because it does happen. You get one version of a person, and then once you're all committed, you get a whole different version, and you're like, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch for all the signs and behavior and all this. If a person don't want you to know, you will not know. So
correct.
I would give you a time or two, maybe three, depending on what the instances are and how invested I am. But me, I'm out. Deuces to the wind.
Yep. That's
okay.
Right.
You had your chance. You perpetrated fraudulent behavior. Let me show you how that's rewarded. Look at my back.
Oh.
That's how I stand it.
Okay. All right. I can go for that. Brother Eddie, you there with us?
Did you get rid of her yet, Michael?
He ain't come back yet.
I guess he may be on another call.
But yeah. I think I probably agree with Key, and you know, because I mean, you can only take so much for so long. You know, and it's like, okay, this isn't the person I got into this relationship with or got married to. I don't know what mask you took off, but you needed to put the mask back on or go get another mask because that ain't no haps in my house. Because I don't know what you have in your mind, but I don't like what I'm seeing. So we're going to annul our relationship. We're going to annul this marriage because, bruh, man, you know, you got to go. Everything you own is in the box on the left. You got to take them, put them.
That's right.
I don't care how you leave, but you got to go. Would you say?
If I had a good woman, right, and she slipped around and she let somebody kiss her. Now, she was a good woman before. She was a good woman before the dude kissed her, right? And she came back to me and she said, baby, I can't go on without telling you the truth because I love you.
Okay.
Somebody kissed me, right? Now, this woman been good to me before she made that mistake. She ain't never did nothing. She ain't never did no bad, nothing. But for whatever reason, she allowed this dude to kiss her. But now she was so hurt about her actions. She was able to come back and tell me because she loved me, baby, I made a mistake, and I'm very sorry, and I won't do it again. And I'm saying, well, what you do? You know, this dude kissed me, and I allowed him to kiss me. Well, am I going to throw away this good woman that was good to me for years because somebody kissed her on the job?
That's
no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell her, hey, listen, I'm going to be mad at you for a couple of days. But after that, I'm going to go back to loving you. I'm not going to stop loving you, but I'm going to be disappointed for a couple of days because you allowed somebody to kiss you. Now, why did you allow him to kiss you when I could have gave you the same kiss at home?
Okay, question. Because you know when you're at church and people kiss you on your cheek. Is that different?
Right.
Is that different, or is that the same type? You know, because let people just kiss you. Go ahead.
That would be the approach that I would take to make things move on. But the real principle that I can look at and say that she's still a good woman because she came back, she apologized, and she told me that she felt weak at that point. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that make my heart merry? No. But I want to find out, why did you let him kiss you when I could have gave you the same kiss at home?
You ain't there, though.
But that situation, though, is different than the question Inez is actually asking, because, you see, your
Correct.
Woman,
mm-hmm.
the one that you're, right, because that woman, your wife, your hypothetical wife, because I know that you're a widower, your hypothetical wife is a good woman, did fall, let's
mm-hmm.
say she did fall prey to temptation once. She's still a good woman. She didn't change. What she did is that she had a momentary lapse of, well, let's say, morality.
Yeah.
But she didn't change. She's still good. The question
right.
Inez
mm-hmm.
is asking is if what happens if your man, your woman, has actually changed the
mm-hmm.
whole behavior, changed the whole mindset, and
mm-hmm.
to make it worse, was that way at the beginning but hid it from you. And now he or
Correct.
She is revealing
Correct.
Her and his true colors, and she, you
mm-hmm.
know, that's not a good woman or a good man anymore. That's a person who has
right.
changed
right.
because of either ego or evilness, as, you know, the people who are spiritual here would say. but there are people who are, you know, who
or like
are
that.
Evil or who, yeah. So that's the different
mm-hmm.
question, Reverend. Now, what you're talking about is a woman that, you know, I think most of us would take back if we let our egos, you know, put our egos in our pocket. But if we found out that woman is not only let somebody kiss her, but had affairs with three men and came back and told you about it, not because she was good, but because she wanted to rub it in your face, now that's a different experience.
That's a different
Correct.
Experience.
I missed
right,
the top.
Right.
I missed the top of that. I missed that that question. But that
you
sounds
wondering
very
what happened to you.
Yeah, I
the
apologize.
Question,
I didn't want to interrupt and say that
you,
I had to
fine.
Step away for a minute. You know,
fine.
I had a call.
You're
so.
No, you are you.
That's
you
okay. That's
this.
Okay, Michael. I covered for you. I just told them you were beating your wife or throwing your wife out of the house, so they understood.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She duct taped in the closet right now. I got it. I bought some duct tape on my way home today.
Here you go.
That's right.
All right.
I'm going to sleep good tonight. I ain't got to worry about none of them sharp knives in the kitchen.
That's right.
No, but the question I had asked was if you had been courting a woman, you know, and, you know, she was just a perfect person, and then after you say, I do, this woman changes, what would you do in that situation?
Oh, okay. Well, I think you got a certain amount of time that you could
I know.
There you go. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Right away, and then says a no. Annulment, 5 minutes. Okay.
No.
Right on.
No,
think
what
about
I, that's
it.
That's
think.
It. No,
think
but that's
about
what
it.
I have
think
said.
About
that's what I have said. That's exactly what I have said, because
yeah.
you're not the same person who came to me, and I said, put your mask back on, because I don't know who just came to the house and changed and rearranged the furniture in your body. But it's like, no. And as I said, you got to go. You know, I don't care where you go, but you got to get
yep.
up out of here.
Yes, right.
So everything you own is in the box on the left, right there, so you and your box can go. And just like y'all say, you can go. But, you know.
But
so,
you can't stay in a relationship with the go attitude. You can't build a relationship with the go attitude. Now, your commitment was on the altar. For better or for worse.
Well, the reality
yeah,
to
that,
me is this.
But, let me say this, Joe. Eddie, the commitment was, okay, I'm going to be with you regardless. Now, if the sickness came, flared up after the commitment was made, then it's not my responsibility. It's not for me to run away from the person. I should have the ability of love in love to help the person through the situation. Now, some people say, well, if they were just covering up from the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Most people sometimes be sick a lot of times, and the sickness don't flare up until later on. Well,
until they say I do.
Huh?
Thank you. Thank you, Empress. Thank you. Thank
you.
Wait.
Do you have? Does it have a switch that okay? You're in this fog and okay. Once you say I do, you come out that fog and you change. Is that what you're saying, Reverend?
Say that again. I didn't hear that. Say that again.
You didn't hear that.
I said,
for instance, after that person says I do. Do they come out of a fog and then they all of a sudden change?
Well, now let's see. Now, if they were covering up from the beginning, right, and it's an ailment
mm-hmm.
that make them do things that are not right. Well, if that sickness was suppressed because of so much joy and overwhelming, and then it came out afterward, you've committed already. And you did say, for better or for worse,
uh-huh.
sickness or health, rich or poor, right?
You have a coffin and then, and I'm just cutting. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, that sounds like something I would say in this.
If you really have grown to love this person, you don't want this
uh-huh.
person to leave because they got a problem that you can help them fix. You can help them fix it. Now, if they violent
but,
and they too far gone, you understand what I'm saying, and they want to kill you, mm-hmm. knife you up, and shoot you and all that kind of stuff, then you know you're dealing with a psychopath with that sickness. But if you
mm-hmm.
can be tolerant enough and long-suffering enough to help, you can help fix somebody you love and somebody that loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you
but
complete,
I mean,
Rev?
No, you can help fix them. You can really help fix them. You can help fix people like psychiatrists help fix people, you know? You can.
But, okay, time out. But the thing is, they had a plan all along, is what I'm saying, is they were nice up until the I do came, and then they changed after you crossed the threshold, is what I'm saying. So they had a whole different agenda, you know, in their mind after they hooked you, after they hoodwinked you, after they whatever. I'm just throwing out.
Bamboozle.
Situations.
Bamboozle.
Yeah. Yes.
Can I finish my statement now?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I apologize. I just came back in.
No, you're fine. No, go ahead. Please
do. Okay. That's another reason why I emphasize on walking slow and being observant. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes there's signs and sometimes there are. What do they call it, an enigma or whatever? Some people can clothe themselves. But the reality is this. If she has emotional issues and
mm-hmm.
we dwell in the house with those issues, that's fine. But if she has to go out and drink or spend time with another man, that's not stable enough for me, because if I'm going to get a STD that might take me out, let me go out there and get it myself. And that ain't got nothing to do with, you know, I mean, it's possible. Only thing what I'm saying
mm-hmm.
is it's possible. And if there's
mm-hmm.
something going on in your relationship, and you basically have to think the worst. Well, I would think the worst because of the fact that you don't know. You're not there.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And that's my reality. That's the way I look at it. If I'm not going out doing that, if we don't have an agreement that we're going to have an open relationship, then neither one of us should really be creeping. Because, again, if I know I didn't go out, you know, even just say those itchy things, since, you know, we're going there and
mm-hmm.
we're all adults on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get the itchy things, and I know I didn't go out and get the itchy things. But for some reason, I'm itching now. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And can it be rectified? Could trust ever come back? No, because head to toe of her feminine body belongs to her. A contract ain't going to stop nobody from being who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, it's just that simple. If somebody wants to heal and wants to be different, then you have to allow them to do that and be with them in it.
And be different. Mm-hmm.
Right. But if they demonstrating that they not, you know, transforming, I mean, trust me, anybody that I deal with, even as far as friendships,
mm-hmm.
we talk about our the parameters. If you say these things right here, you're stepping over the boundary line. This
okay.
is disrespectful, and I will never say these things to you. And if you say them to me, then it's letting me know that you don't, you know, appreciate and respect, you know, me. So if
right.
these things can't be abided by while we're just dating or while we're friends, then
mm-hmm.
we'll never go under that contract. You know, I don't really believe in them contracts
gotcha.
Anyway anymore. If we
mm-hmm.
agree to be together and we stay under the sun, moon, and stars, then we're together. I could will to you everything that I have if
mm-hmm.
I transition before you do, and you could do the same. That's all I wanted
okay.
to say. The decision.
Okay.
All right, and with the last point, I agree with you on that completely. I don't believe in this, well, we have to get married according to the rules of the state or the rules
Law
of religion.
Land.
I believe you can get
mm-hmm.
married. You can be married to each other without anybody else's permission or sanctions.
Right.
That's the way I believe. I don't like the idea that I have to conform to what the state wants, and I have to do what religion wants me to do. What I want to do with my wife, that I'm going to call my wife, is my business and none of your business. I don't want your laws interfering with what I am going to do with her. We can have our own agreements. We can abide by them in our own way. And the law and religion can go take a hike.
Well, you won't be considered married, George, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. I won't be considered
in
married.
In the eyes of who?
The law?
In the eyes of who?
Yeah.
If she agrees, I agree, and is demonstrated. Heaven don't want no contract. If that's the case, we would be born with pens and paper when we came to this physical realm.
And
see,
I've talked
apologize.
About that contract.
Certain things traumatize me. I apologize. See, I do have my deficiencies. I do.
We all do. Well, then, let me ask y'all about
this.
Hey, Joe, what about
yeah,
this?
Hold on. Eddie,
okay.
Hold on. Eddie, will you finish,
excuse,
Eddie,
excuse
before
me.
You jump in? Mm-hmm. Will you finish, Eddie? Because
I have
an effect. Okay. You were?
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah,
I heard
it's really
okay.
that simple to me, though. You know, but yeah, I'm complete.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Reverend Ron?
What if a person
mm-hmm.
hides a sickness from you? And y'all still get married for love's sake.
Mm.
And after you've married, 2 months down the line, the sickness flares up in the person. Would you leave the person? Would you help the person get well? Would you start thinking you deceived me?
And I know where you're going with that, Reverend, but I'm going to answer the physical part of the question first.
Go ahead.
Let's
go
say
ahead.
she had an STD that she didn't know about. She had a prior boyfriend, okay?
Okay.
And I wasn't against her having a prior boyfriend. And she developed herpes or some other STD, let's say 9 months later, because
mm-hmm.
they don't often flare up right away. She doesn't know about it. So we get
mm-hmm.
married. Now she knows about it, and I know about it. I'm not blaming her.
Mm-hmm.
But if prior to our nuptials, she says, "Nah, I am as healthy as a horse. I am STD free." She knows she has herpes, and now she's giving it to me. There's no such thing as, you know. Well, maybe. Okay, I'm going to say maybe. All right, theoretically, if you're going to go into Twilight Zone situations, I might say to her, "Baby, why did you do that?" And try maybe to find out what her reasoning is. You know, try to find out what the trauma was that compelled her to do that stupid shit. I'm sorry, Ines. But if she did it on purpose, you know, maybe. Then I find out I can't work with her because she's also, a real nutcase. Oh, no, she's gone. She's gone faster than Ines can say annulment.
But see, you already got herpes now. You already got herpes now, so you're gonna just break it off with her because now you got herpes. You know what I mean?
If she deceived me,
Dr. Savy's wives is right down the street.
You know? But if she didn't deceive me, I'm working with her.
I said Dr. Savy's wives are still here. They might have... Well, he might have transitioned regardless of how or why. But he's cured all of those things, and he has clinical proof that he did. So maybe if that's the case, as far as those STDs and things, maybe she didn't know or acknowledge, which is true, which is a possibility, should I say. And maybe she didn't know about Dr. Savy. But I do. So... that will take
okay,
care of that issue. Right.
All right, so Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, yes. See, look, he got me answering to Michael again. Dr. Savy, you know, everybody should know about him by now, especially considering that he transitioned, you know. But, he has clinicals that he's cured all of those diseases, herpes, AIDS, lupus, cancer.
Gonorrhea
so
and all that stuff?
There is remedy.
Okay.
There is remedy for the seeker. So, but my thing is, again, just like what you said, you got to put everything out on the table before you decide to do anything. You know, I won't even go half on a car with the woman if I'm not absolutely sure who she is, unless it's my intent from the gate, meaning, okay, I'm going to put this $10,000 down with you, but it's in the back of my mind, so if you don't do the right thing, the $10,000 I put up because I wanted to give it to you anyway. I'm not going to say that, but if she demonstrates that she's opposite of what she's saying, then it's not going to matter because it's not going to be no big thing to me because now I know. Yeah, it cost me $10,000. It didn't cost me $10, but still, now I know who I'm dealing with. So now I still have the option to decide if I want to walk, you know, through life with this individual or, you know, do Snagglepuss. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Exit stage left. I'll have the option.
Yeah. And I'm going to bring in your new situation and integrate it with what the Reverend's question was. Let's say I find out that I do have herpes and I can cure it. Now I'm cured. Mm-hmm. But she deceived me. She still got to go because she deliberately deceived me. She's not the person I thought she was because she's not the person that I thought she was. So she's got to go. But if she came in not knowing, I would work with her. Now, where you're going with that, Reverend, is so if I can work with a woman who has a physical disease, why can't I work with a woman who has a mental type of disease?
Right.
And I would.
Exactly. Right.
And I would until that mental disease had built up such a wall that I can't penetrate through conflict resolution. I can't trust her anymore. Mm. She's got to go because trust is very important. Now, see, with the physical sickness, let's get herpes out of the way. Let's say she comes down with a real debilitating disease. I'm going to be with her because it's not her fault. She's not doing it to me on purpose. And like I said, it's not her fault. But if she has a mental disease, you, Reverend, are going to say, that's not her fault either. And I agree with you, in part, because trauma will do that to a person. But at the same time, she has choices. If it's trauma-based and it's conflicting with our healthy relationship, I was not put on earth to suffer somebody else's trauma. I've tried. I couldn't get the success I wanted. I failed at the getting the results. I got to go. She's got to go.
Can I say one more thing? Because I really would like to hear what the women have to say about this. But I just want to emphasize on one thing. STDs.
Go ahead.
Now, everybody, some people strive to live the ancient way of biblical texts and things of that nature. You know, you don't have sex before the ring or whatever the case may be. The marriage is consummated or whatever. But if you've already had sex with her a few times, then that reality basically would have came out as far as an STD. And the same thing with mental illness. If you are spending time with this person that you're interested in, that you love, you'll see in her behavior that there's something deficient there. Prime example, if the shoe is on the other foot, you're with a woman and she's whole and balanced. And she notices deficiencies in you as far as your mentality. She's going to bring it up some kind of way in a question or a joke or whatever the case may be, maybe even a text message 3 days later. But trust me, if she's a wise one, there will be a conversation about it, or, you know, there won't be too many conversations after. You'll be reaching out to her, and, you know, all you see is a pair of skates, you know, in a text message. What do you call them, emojis?
Deuces.
Yeah, the emojis.
Yeah. That's her way of either bringing it to the table to find out what's really going on inside this man. Is he worth my time? Can I deal with it? Can I assist him if he's really striving to heal? And vice versa. But that person has to acknowledge that they do have an issue and have to be, you know, willing to be working on it or working on it. Everybody has a dark and a shadow side. You know, we have two hands, two feet, two eyes, two nostrils, two ears. You know, there's positive and negative in everything. There's masculine energy and feminine energy in everybody. That's balance. That's my heart. But the imbalance, to work on that is peace, and that's self-love. And that's demonstrated also. Clothes don't demonstrate somebody loving themselves because they got a Gucci bag or some designer's, you know, man's wearing a designer suit or shoes. No, it's how they
treat themselves.
That's right.
It might actually reflect the other way. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
what y'all
so
say,
Brett
women? Yes.
I was going to ask you, so what is the question that you're asking the women? If the roles were reversed, what?
If the roles were reversed, what is their response? Because I didn't hear them answer. Did they answer already?
As far as...
Did they respond to the question? The question?
No. As far as the change, no. They didn't answer that one about the change, no.
Okay.
I did. Inez did. Then the hypothetical question came back from Pastor Ron to you, Joe, about the sickness. And then that's how that, well, the illness
went. That's the direction we went.
That's
what I was wondering, because we answered the one about, you know, if everything's all hunky-dory prior to the marriage, and then after the you say I do and cross the threshold, things change, what would you do?
Now, they didn't answer
that
one. I don't think, Reverend, I don't think you answered that one. I don't think he answered that one either about what would happen if you knew that the person changed.
I agree with Joe in part.
Oh, you
remember?
Did? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then Inez did her part, but I think Reverend Carol didn't.
Yes, she did. Everybody did, and then that's when Bra Eddie came back, and I said, this is what we were talking about, if. And so that's probably why he didn't know that he did not hear, because we had answered the question prior to him coming back. That's why he did not
hear. Yes, then let them go right with Rev put to the table about that after the contract STD, what would they do?
Okay. Go ahead, Key.
I'd be living. it'd probably take a lot of restraint on my part, but I wouldn't stand for it. I mean, I think that's going a bit far. I mean, because you're already taking the risk. And I think some people can come back from infidelity and some people can't. And, I mean, I've been in a relationship where the guy was just a chronic cheater. And the only explanation he could give me was I just did stupid things. I made dumb choices. That don't fix it, because there are so many degrees.
You're right.
Intentional hurt. I mean, you put my life at risk. You betrayed all my trust. I mean, then I still have to deal with the consequences of this broad might be crazy, and then I gotta go into protective mode. I mean, it's just all kinds of things. So after that experience, I was like, never again. If I have the inclination that you cheated, whether I can prove it or not, I'm out. So the rest of that, STDs and all of that, then that's a given. Now, if it's a situation where you just sick, I mean, even not married to you, I'll be nurturing. I mean, I'll be supportive. I'll, you know, help you get through it as best you can and hope you make it. But that's a whole different degree.
Okay.
But what about the same?
Okay.
Reverend Carolyn, she still might be there. Go ahead, Reverend Ron.
What about the saying, love covers a multitude of faults?
I am not Jesus. I will not even
have to go to God.
That kind of responsibility. He did it. That's a wonderful thing. That is not me.
Okay, and yeah, so funny. Because I mean, you know,
But I hear what she's saying. She's saying with this kind of disease, it's a disease that could affect your life. Not a disease where the person is suffering and you can actually give that other person support. This person is giving you a contagious disease knowingly. Now, she's talking about somebody who is unfaithful to her. What about kids?
Right.
Okay.
What about the person who gives you STDs right before you got married but didn't know it? Then he and you find out later.
Now, there's no exception. I'm still done. As quick as I got them papers, I'll serve you some other one. If it's about us, then I make it very clear. I'm a really upfront person. This is where I stand. If you don't respect me enough or love me to this depth, you're expecting me to love you back, not to cross the boundaries, not to be disrespectful, not to hurt me in that way. I owe you nothing. And I will leave and won't blink.
Well, I agree with you. But if a man was dating other people before he dated you, and 9 months after his last relationship, he marries you because you two have fallen in love, he has not deceived you because he doesn't know he's got herpes or gonorrhea or whatever STD. And a month later, after the honeymoon, after the marriage, he finds out that that girl gave him something. And now you have it, but not because he deceived you, but because maybe she deceived him.
So you're basically saying before the wedding.
I am out. I
yeah, before
saying,
the wedding.
No, no, no. But there was no sexual contact between. That's what I'm not really understanding. That's why I was talking about old biblical texts. The majority of people on the planet today, unless she is or he is a virgin or something like that, and they say they want to stay that way until, and both parties agree or something like that, that's one thing. But if you're already interacting physically and 9 months later somebody comes up with an STD, nah.
You're not going
to. Something had to happen in them last 9 months. The last 48 hours, I say.
Well, it didn't take that long for something to come.
It doesn't flare up right away. It doesn't flare up right away. There's a gestation period for different diseases. So I'm using 9 months. But let's say the person you married, Key, he didn't wear a rubber with her, but wore a rubber with you because you insisted on it. So you know that you didn't give it to him. He didn't give it to you at that time. And he knows that he had to have contracted from her. So now what do you do?
See, I didn't think of that.
I still would be. And I say that because there are so many, like, people, like, if you go through the health department, they'll give you a list of all these statistics of what disease is prominent in your area. And a lot of people don't tell you. So, first, I'm not jumping into no physical relationship with you. And then if we decide to cross that threshold, we can go get tested together, and then everything's exposed. So I would not be in a situation where something pop up 9 months after the fact. I'm just not going to do
unless
it.
Unless it's a baby. Mm-hmm.
No, anybody could. Because, again, the gestation period I'm using could be 9 months, 6 months, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He did not deceive you. The point is that he got it before, let's say he got it before we even met you. He doesn't even know about it. You two have gotten married because you two have genuinely fallen in love. And now after the marriage, after the nuptials, after the honeymoon, he finds out that his last whore, which you would call her, right, gave it to him. Now, he didn't plan on getting it. He didn't plan on giving it to you. You know that he didn't deceive you. You still would say hasta la vista just that quickly?
Yes, I would, like I said. There's no anything else keeping your body that long, dormant or not. If you go to a clinic and say, I want a STD screening, they drawing your blood, they doing scraping, going through the eye of your part or whatever they do for guys, and then they can tell you in a matter of minutes or a matter of hours if something's in your body that does not belong there, and they can identify what it is. So I do not believe that. I know if I'm going through this process with you and I took all these precautionary measures, if something comes up and he's like, I swear I didn't see him, this must have happened before, I'm not going to believe that because I've already taken all the precautions ahead of time. So just because you tell me it was a bad person before you got with me, I'm supposed to just take you at your word? No, I'm not doing that either. Genuine love or not.
Okay, but you... All right, because you've introduced this new, the new semi-situation in which you two have gone to a clinic to find out if both of you, you know, have clean blood, which is a good thing. People should do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't, because a lot of people get married and they don't go to the doctor to find out and get blood tests, but if you find out later.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. So that, you know, the question is, what would you do with somebody who's actually changed for whatever particular reason? Maybe they were narcissists before, hid, and I firmly believe that people can hide their deficiencies from other people. If they want to make that other person think that they are the hero or the princess, they can do it. And once they get married, then the true selves can come out. That's been shown probably in psychological literature, historical literature. There have been people who do that just for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, I believe it's real. I was married to one of those people some long time ago. That's why it's a long time ago. I'm already not an extremely patient person. I try to exercise patience in some degree. But
I'll own that about myself. But I'm just not going to stand for any old kind of thing. I just refuse to do it. I didn't grow up that way where I had to just accept things and allow people to say and do whatever and treat me any kind of way. I don't have those kind of examples or role models. We were not brought up to live that kind of life, and I will not stand for it. It's about the expectations and the boundaries that I have, and I will not compromise on that. I did it one time, way back in my young and dumb days, like they call them, and I haven't done it since.
Okay.
But that's
okay,
really so, not, no.
AT, say if it was you, and you love this person before you got married, and you possibly by that person that you didn't particularly care about but was with them, and you didn't know that what was going on with them, the ailment, was detrimental, and you took it into the relationship with the person that you've fallen really in love with, what would you want them to do if they found out that you, not knowingly,
mm-hmm.
gave them some kind of transmitted disease? What would you want him to do? Now, y'all done got married, y'all done got a house, y'all got children, I won't say children, but y'all got a house, got cars and all this kind of thing. You've accomplished a few things, and y'all really love each other, and getting along fine. What would you want him to do? Would you want him to look at you and say...
I would want him to be true to himself. If the situations were reversed, and mm-hmm. I was the person that unknowingly brought something or whatever to the new person,
mm-hmm.
I would have to remove myself from the situation. So it would be like, there's no malice here. This is a new discovery. I am hurt by this, but I wouldn't want to hurt you this way. So I would present it that way and attempt to remove myself.
Well, you have already heard it. Wait a minute now. You already got married with the thing. You've already had the disease. You ain't got married now. And he got it now. So what if he say to you,
oh, he can't say he got
I don't
want to
go nowhere. What if he say, T, I don't want to go nowhere?
No.
I don't think I would. Emotionally.
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question, Dee, because you said you would remove yourself to protect him. But if he says, thank you, baby, but I love you all the more for telling me about it, and I don't blame you, and I don't want you to go, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I would still try to remove myself if it's going to be like, we'll get through it, this is where we are, nothing's changed, then, I mean, we could probably still push forward, but I would struggle internally because I would question, okay, is this going to come up in a fight? Is this going to change something? But to prepare myself for these things. So I would probably overanalyze it, but, I mean, that's just kind of how I am and some situation. So,
well, if you left him,
I couldn't tell you how that income would go.
AT, if you left him, now if he wants to stay with you, and you left him, where would you go? Would you be open and transparent to the next person, or would you just, you know, would you just going on into a relationship?
Nah, she'd be open.
If I had some communicable thing that it could not be corrected, then I would just say to myself, I wouldn't do that. I mean, there are some people that intentionally hurt people because they have to live with consequences of whatever choices they made. I would not want to do that. I have.
You just left the dude. You just left this guy. Now he wants to be with you. Now you all could stay together and probably, you know, deal with each other with it. You know, why would you leave him and you did the harm to him, and he wants to stay with you because he really loves you, why would you leave him?
I already said why. I mean, I can't speak for other people. I just know that I would struggle with it because I'd always be wondering. And that would create something in me that I couldn't live with. And I'd have to respond accordingly.
Yeah. You would wonder about him bringing it up in a fight. But suppose he only brings it up once, you two resolve it, and he never brings it up again. Then you would have made a very good decision to stay in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that might be a possible outcome to that hypothetical situation. I'm just saying, if I could bow out, and, you know, then I would try to do that because I'm mindful. But I would retract to myself. I couldn't just keep hooking up with people to say, okay, ha-ha. I'm not that kind of person.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to communicate.
I will
say,
if you met
Dr. Sabian and he cured you, then you probably would continue on with your life, I assume.
Well,
she may stay alone a while by herself, and then she might think back on the dude that she infected after she get lonely and say, well, I'm going back to him because he got the same
God.
Thing that I gave him, you know?
That's a possibility. That's a possibility, Keegan, it is. If she, cures... Because if you left him, you might feel guilty.
I'm capable of satisfying myself. I don't have to run back to somebody.
No, but
well, no,
if you left him because you felt guilty.
Yeah.
This is where the brother, yeah.
You didn't leave him because he did something to you. You left him.
Right.
You left him because you did something to him, right?
Okay. But like I said, if the roles were reversed, I would leave. So if the roles were on me, like y'all just trying to pinpoint this, then I would try to leave. Maybe I find out something, and then he's like, well, we'll be okay, and then he go, and he don't have it. How about that?
Right.
Then I didn't do anything. So then I can still choose to leave if I want to. But if he were like, we'll get through this, we'll do whatever, then maybe I'd consider staying, but then I would still always be wondering.
There are some people
that even with all their good intentions, when they feel hurt or something come up that don't sit right with them and they have leverage over you, they like to use it. And I'm one of the people, you're not about to badger me.
Well, he can't use too much leverage because he got the same disease you got. What leverage could he use?
I just told you the man tested and he didn't have it. So why are you still harping on the fact that he did? I'm giving you a different hypothetical situation.
Maybe
it come up, and I'm like, hey, babe, I wasn't feeling good. I got checked. The doctor said I caught the blue eye or some craziness. Then, you know, I'd be like, well, you check, make sure you're okay. And then he tests in the clear. And then he'll be like, well, we can get through this. I know you didn't do this on purpose or whatever the scenario is. And I would still wonder because it could happen. It could be something didn't go his way. And he's like, well, I chose to stay with you and you caught the blue wobble, you know, so.
The blue wobble.
The blue wobble.
I'm just going to pick up some random crazy thing that can't cure.
The blue wobble.
So, you know, and he might just be, like, perfectly fine. But, I mean, that wouldn't be okay with me because I'm like, I know this is, you know, not the agreed-upon thing. We took all the precautions, whatever the scenario is, and I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to put you at risk, and you can go on with your life and do other things, love or not. So it's go either way.
When in love, use a glove.
I'd have a different mindset. If somebody gave me an STD and I knew that it wasn't done on purpose, then, you know, if I met this Dr. Sabian or somebody else and they cured it, that would take care of it. And
his call just dropped, so he'll be calling back in.
Well, I'll clarify what he's saying. Well, I'll speak to what he's missing. Well,
okay.
He talks about germination or whatever the case may be. 9 months? I think only
That's
thing it takes to germinate in 9 months is a baby. Am
He's
I correct?
A baby.
We need a scientist on here.
No, because I looked it up and it's two to 12 days, depending on what the disease is. So, I don't know. He must be having a watermelon baby or something like that, but that's what that was. But I'm just saying, because everything else, I looked up gestation periods, and it's 2 to 12 days, 2 to 15 max, if anything. So that's what that is. But once he comes back, we'll talk about it. But the next thing is your partner disregards your feelings. That's number 4. Sometimes frequent communications in a relationship does not guarantee that the relationship is perfect. If your partner disregards your feelings when you discuss specific topics with them, it is a relationship failure sign. So how do y'all feel on that? If you just being dissed on your feelings, we'll start with Keith. And so she's very,
adamant. Adamant.
Go ahead.
In that situation, I would still leave. I would not stand for a person just being like completely disregardful. That's disrespectful to me. And then you're showing me that what I
you
think and what I feel and how you are portraying these things or showing me these things and telling me these things is like you want, think, and feel is the priority, and mine is not. And if that's the case, I should not be here. So I will not stay. End of that. That's that. I'm out.
Don't try to come back and you couldn't come back. Okay. Eddie, bruh. We'll call you bruh Eddie. If your partner disregards your feelings, how would you, what would you do? He said, okay.
Repeat that one more time, please.
If your partner disregards your feelings, would you stay in the relationship? I mean, if it's over and over and she just doesn't care about anything about you, basically, what would you do? Basically, your feelings. You could just walk all over you in your feelings.
Well, they're in a sense, there's really no relationship, but if I really cared about it, maybe I would do some of the things. I would mirror her and see how she likes it, you know. And if she doesn't strive to change, you know, I always go back to the rule book because one of my favorite things is fair play, no robbery. So as long as we got guidelines and parameters, we know where the middle of the road is. So if you lean too far to the left or the right and vice versa, you have a right to call it out, you know, that you're violating Rule 5 or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. And then I'll make that correction, you make that correction. But if it's repetitious, then they're going back to mental illness or traumatized. And, you know, you never know how far that could go. I put it to you like this. I was interested in a woman once, and we were pretty cool.
This
she had two young children. No, well, I'm just saying this particular woman. Yeah, that's that Rodney Dangerously right there. I forgot his name. You seen that movie?
Dangerfield.
Joe Piscopo.
Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah, Rodney.
Rodney Dangerously, the guy who played Batman.
Oh.
He played in this movie. He was a gangster.
Okay.
And his brother ran for mayor, just like Mayor Giuliani in New York. But anyway, his father was a gangster. But my point is, you know, we hung out like 3 times, went out once. So one given day, I was going over her house and called her and said, you know, I'm on my way over. Do you need anything? And she told me she needed some soap. I got the right mm-hmm. soap, but the wrong scent or something like that.
Mm.
Her energy, when I put that soap in her hand, in a bag, her energy and her face changed. She looked like a witch. Mm. I'm saying
wow.
She's a beautiful, beautiful woman, but mm. when she looked in that mm. bag, and then once she calmed down, because I took this girl, I said, who are you? And once she calmed down
mm-hmm.
and realized, she told me the guy who was the father of her children, he used to abuse
mm-hmm.
her. That she did anything that wasn't adequate for him,
mm-hmm.
he'd go to her behind. He would really beat her at, like she was a man. That's what she said. So I said, well, I'm not that mm-hmm. individual, and I know you have to work through things. And it flared up too much, and I really recommended that she get help, and she, you know, go somewhere and spend time by yourself, because, you know, she really needed to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful woman. She took very good care of her
right.
children. Very clean, you know, but she had too many traumas. But we couldn't
mm-hmm.
be together.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't stand for that, huh?
I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe is back with us. Reverend Ron, when
yes.
your partner disregards your feelings, how would you
mm-hmm.
handle that?
Well,
I don't know who had all that.
I would ask the person, why is
mm-hmm.
it that you are ignoring the way I feel about this situation? And if they gave me their point
yeah.
of view, why
mm-hmm.
they were ignoring
mm-hmm.
me, or why they didn't want to, you know, talk to me about it, or just understand me in that area. Then
mm-hmm.
if the point was, I'm not listening to you because I don't believe that's the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my question would be, well, then what's your way? So that we can agree, what's your way? So you can respect the way I feel. And then when they put their way on the table, depending on
mm-hmm.
how deeply in love and involved I am with the person. See, when people are used to rejection or
mm-hmm.
been suffering rejection, they quick to want to leave. They quick to just
mm-hmm.
throw everything away because that's something that they don't want to deal with ever, and they don't feel like they should, and rightly so. But
okay.
when you are in a relationship that you've already committed to, leaving is not really an option. Working out situations is what makes the relationship healthy and strong. Because then you can look
mm-hmm.
back, and the one person can look back to the other person and say, you really do love me because you helped me get over that.
I can
rely upon you in my deficiencies. You didn't commit to me just to be committing, but you committed to me to really be who you say you would be in all given times of this relationship. So if they ignored my feelings, then I would want to know why. And if they said that I got a better way, well, then I would say, okay, let's see how that would operate with the two of us agreeing on that.
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
well, they're gonna learn something in the process. In the process, they're gonna learn, well, just because I didn't agree with him, he didn't stop
mm-hmm.
loving me. The love
okay.
covered the fault of the other person. Now, if I
right.
just took off and ran and say, I'm through, I don't want to be bothered with this. I've been through this before in my past
mm-hmm.
life, and I just don't want to have nothing else to do with this situation. Well,
okay.
stop and think. The guy done bless y'all. Y'all done accomplished a few things. Well, love can counsel out some stuff and educate at the same time. Your actions, your response to people inadequacy it can change them and educate them at the same time.
Well, Pastor Ron, can I ask you a
question? Go right ahead.
Okay, so on your point, if the person that you're willing to open yourself up to receive whatever from them so that you can better understand them so y'all can reach a mutual point, what if that said person is just adamant about disregarding you despite all these attempts and efforts? Then how long would you stay trying to get them to grow and heal and be this different version of themselves if they're adamant about not changing?
Well, at one point in my life when I was a little immature, I probably would not tarry long at all, you know.
Hmm.
But because of my transformation of my own mind in God, then he give us to be tolerance with others. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you say I've been changed, if I tell you all God changed me from what I used to be before I
right.
came into God, well, then that means the attributes that I display of tolerance and patience and long-suffering and kindness, well, then it's going to be extended and expanded. Where I had little tolerance before I came into God and learned what it is to be tolerance with people, it's going to expand. Now, with me having more love, with me having more understanding, with me having more wisdom, and this person here is just torn. They torn. They still torn between relationships. They torn between opinions. Well, I can heal that person. I don't run from the person I love. I'm quick to heal the person. I'm quick to heal the person that I love. Yeah, it might be uncomfortable for a minute, but if you are really, really, really in God, in the Word of God, you can take that word and you can change a person's point of view within a matter of minutes. It's just like you go, it's just like when I was going to Concordia University. When I went to Concordia, I had a professor named Professor Oberdeck, and he ran by me something in a setting, in a class setting. He said, I was overloaded and became mentally ill. Okay? He said he was overloaded with responsibilities and became mental ill. He did not have a physical deficiency, but he was overloaded mentally. Some people react when they're overloaded mentally, and they don't react correctly. So you have to look at it from a global point of view within your relationship. Is this person overloaded? Is this person trying to figure out their way and be mature and be strong? But if I just kick them to the curb because they get on my nerves, then I'm gonna be alone for the rest of my life.
Because you didn't give them that opportunity, right?
And I didn't play no love doctor. Now I played love doctor before we got married. Then why I can't play love doctor after we get married?
Well, I'd like to take the abstract concept and bring in a specific situation for this, because I know where the reverend's coming from, and everybody here has a very, very viable point of view. No, I do, because you believe in the positive affirmation.
Definitely.
Let that woman know that, yeah, I love you, and we can handle just about anything. And to do it in a way that some people might consider in today's time to be a little bit too aggressive. But I know what he's talking about. The thing is that let's put it like this. I met a woman. Let's say we got married. But before we got married, mm-hmm. she showed very few signs of being, you know, a neurotic, a very neurotic, very much of a neurotic. Mm-hmm. After we got mm-hmm. married, now, not because she's especially deceptive, but because she does have a neurosis. She's a sex addict. After 2 years of marriage, she has told me she has slept with 4 men. She regrets it, but because she's a sex addict, she might think that she's going to continue with this particular type of behavior. Now, I know there are men mm-hmm. who will forgive her and live with her. I myself would try to find out what the problem is, go to counseling. If the counselors don't help and she continues to be an adulteress, regardless of whether she has this sexual addiction or not, what about me? What about my feelings? Okay? I'm giving to her the support that she needs, but it's not helping.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might ameliorate the situation to a degree where she, instead of sleeping with 4 men a year, maybe she'll sleep with 2 men a year. That's still 2 too many. After a while, I'm going to have to leave, sex illness or not, because I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling betrayed. Okay? So, you know, I just have to tell you.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you a question. You gave part clarity on it. She slept with 4 men in a year. So that's since you guys have been married, you know, since y'all jumped the broom or whatever, then, but in that year she slept with 4 men while she was married to you, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, that's a horse of a different color there. Now, the reason why I say that, you know, the Bible clearly tells us, and I use biblical because it's fact, but the Bible clearly tells us if that woman commits adultery, that's the mm-hmm. only way that you can really leave her.
But remember, if she has a sickness, it's not because she just feels like going out there and getting, you know, getting fulfilled sexually. She's a sex addict. This is what the psychologist would say. This might even be what some people in the church might say is her problem. She can't help herself. She has trauma.
Or she got a demon.
Oh,
right. She's possessed.
Yeah, whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she might, and I, like I said, there'd be men who would stick around because they love her. But if she's going out there, and I'm envisioning her wrapping her legs around somebody else's legs, her breasts up against his chest, they're kissing. He's giving her an orgasm. She's giving him an orgasm. Let me tell you,
mm-hmm.
I would go to counseling, but if the counseling doesn't help, I'm not put on this planet to suffer. I'm helping her, but she's definitely not helping me.
Right.
So I have to leave.
Well, that's a different story, Joe. I'm going to be very honest with you.
Yes, sir.
When the question came around about ignoring my feelings, mm-hmm. right? Now, mm-hmm. that's an adultery. That piece right there with her being sick and going out there having sex and all that kind of thing, well, she don't need to be married. I'm going to be honest with
okay,
you. She needs to wait till she's delivered or healed from that ailment, because that's a very, very dangerous piece. You know
can
what
I
mean?
Add
that's
something
a dangerous
to it? Can
piece.
I add something to it right quick? See, that's yes. the reason why I emphasize on the fact that if she doesn't honor and respect my feelings, that
mm-hmm.
could be a sign, that possibility. That's another reason why.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
look at you. I've been cheating mm-hmm. on you for 6 months, and you don't even know. You ain't no man.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So therefore, she doesn't have any reason, because partly the guilt in her higher spirit is tearing her up for what she's
mm-hmm.
doing. You see what I'm saying?
And then she might be
so
schizophrenic, that's another, man. You know?
Convicting her.
Mm-hmm. There's
signs.
There's signs.
Michael,
you know,
I'm sorry.
Don't
Mike,
get
Eddie.
It twisted.
Michael.
I've had a lot of communication with women, and some of them talk about how men use the excuse that men naturally have to hunt alpha males and all of that stuff. That's just an imbalance in your chakras or emotional issues that you haven't dealt with, you know. What is his name? What's the singer's name, that you light-skinned guy with the curly hair?
Maxwell?
He sings barefoot.
Renee?
Didn't Halle Berry divorce him? Somebody divorced him because he wanted too much he could not.
He wanted sex all the time. Mm-hmm.
Right. But the reality is he wanted it from just that one woman. See, and that's going back to biblical text, evenly yoked. Ain't that what they say, Rev?
That's what they say.
Yep.
Okay. So that's balance. So that's what's so important about communication and demonstration. If you observe somebody while you're having a good time with them, you'll know mm-hmm. who they are. You know their spirit. You
exactly.
know what spirit mm-hmm. is governing them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
my reality
earlier.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you the infidelity. Let me take the infidelity out of it, because people can point to the Bible and use that as a fulcrum for saying, okay, yeah,
dude,
that's the reason why you can leave.
No. I just use the term evenly yoked. All I'm emphasizing on, there's still an imbalance there. That's all I'm saying. You might
not
have liked
talking
that
about
term.
What, yeah. No. I'm not talking about what you just finished saying. I'm talking about something else now. Okay? I'm not talking about what you just finished saying.
You can't get mad because others rely on the Bible and you don't now.
No, I'm not getting mad at what I'm saying. I'm trying to introduce a different situation. Because if people are going to point to the Bible and say, as a result of her being an adulteress, yes, you can now, as using the Bible, you can now escape the relationship. How about this person is a tremendous flirt? I mean, a real big flirt.
That's different.
Okay? Okay,
yeah,
that's right.
Different.
That's why I'm introducing it. So she's a flirt. And she says, I'm going to try to contain myself, but you see her, when a guy holds her hand, she doesn't take her hand back. She doesn't smile because she's friendly. She smiles because she wants validation from men that she's very, very sexy. So she is flirting all the time.
She's flirting.
She's flirting. So she's disregarding my feelings. We've talked about it. And she says, I don't know, maybe because, you know, I have gone to a psychiatrist, and they say that because of what happened to me when I was a child, this is the reason, you know. So now she's going to give me a psychiatric reason, and I'm saying, look, we can work it out if you agree to stop. She says, I definitely will try to stop, but she doesn't. So she's disregarding my feelings, which is the topic right now. I don't care if she's doing it on purpose or if she says it's because of a trauma. She's making choices.
She's still doing it.
Right? I don't think her trauma is so strong that it's compelling her, you know, when we're at a party or we're at a business dinner, that she has to make sure that the men look her way, and if a man takes her hand, that she slowly withdraws it or she doesn't withdraw it at all. She knows it bothers me.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have to talk to her. We're going to go to counseling. If still that doesn't resolve the problem, then I'm gone, sweet, which is against what you've been saying, Reverend, because you've been saying, well, you know, infidelity, you've got a good reason, Joe, to leave. What you're going to say to me now is, what about love? And I'm saying, I may love this woman, but this woman doesn't love me enough. She's hurting me, and I'm not put on this planet to be hurt by somebody I love. I've tried. We can't do it. It's time to go.
Time to change.
Well, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with no one. Now, if she's doing things like that, which a lot of women do that for whatever reason, and they'll just do it. They want other men when they're out with their men. A lot of women want other men to pay attention to them, so that they man can see that someone else is watching them for whatever reason. And to me, that's a bad sense of manners. But it's a lot of women do that. Well,
it's dangerous in a lot of ways.
Huh?
No, I just wanted to say it's dangerous in a lot of ways. Because
sure,
that's in a sense like leading that other man on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now,
because
in his eyes, you disrespecting your husband, so it must be an open relationship. So where are you going? Now the husband has to step up, and next thing you know, anything could happen. I'm not doing none of that. I don't mind my woman dressing semi-sexy, but you know. Like Dave Chappelle said, you ain't wearing no hooker outfit. No.
I want it to be at home for me.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
That's
but,
a different
you know,
situation.
Right. That's but I'm just saying,
yeah.
if she behaves that way, that shows that there is something going on mentally challenging for her. You already put in a scenario that things happen to her that causes that kind of behavior. Knowing that, that's a different kind of love and a different kind of caressing and things like that that takes place. Prime example. A friend of mine told me something that a female doctor told him. If you have a woman and she's been traumatized that way, you run her a bath and you put her in the water. You get in the back of the tub, be it with her, or if you can get in the back of the tub, you don't necessarily have to get in the tub with her. You reach down between her legs and you touch her on her inner thigh, and you just hold her inner thigh. You don't necessarily have to have a conversation or anything unless she chooses to talk. But that's healing for the woman. I just gave y'all an anecdote. Let me give you my Cash App. I'm a doctor.
I'll give
that's
you
a
fuck. Okay. Yeah.
That's a love, John.
All right. Now this
all right.
Did this doctor tell him about how successful it was? Because that sounds nice, but how successful is it?
Hey, well, how'd that go, heal her?
Well, you know
hey.
What? And
how's that going to heal her?
Listen. If Eddie knows, like, you know, different parts of anybody's body, you know, if they know, like, you know, if you touch a person's hand in a certain way, a finger, you know. Yeah, wrist or what have you, you know, that is healing. That could relieve some stress or relieve, what is it, some hormones emotional tension or endorphins and stuff. So, you know, we all don't know these pieces on our body. I mean, even if you touch like the bottom of a person's foot in the center, you know, that's healing for maybe a headache or whatever. So what he's saying could be very, very well true. If you know a person's body and you study, you know, what different parts heals a person. So I would take that into consideration. And next time you have a disagreement or something, or y'all not, you kind of disregard their feelings. Hey, yo.
I like that.
Come back. You know,
I like,
we can learn a lot from
I like that.
Really. Because as
well, how long would it be healed?
I like that advice.
But
sure, I just want to know what the results are. I like that.
Hello,
I like the advice. And I would do it.
Again,
I just
like
want to know. Yeah, I just want to know the results. I just want to know how often does it work. Because I, you know, I don't mind crawling into the bathtub with somebody. But if I'm doing it 20 times and she's still going to go out and flirt, then I have to, you know, I have to have a new remedy. I might enjoy the bath for a while, but after a while, I'm not getting in that tub with her.
Well, the beautiful,
get a,
the
get
beautiful
a
reality.
On your Cash App.
That's right. I'm asking Eddie to give me back my $5.
He didn't even try it yet. Look at that. He didn't even try it.
No,
yet.
He's just saying.
He likes to move his money around and make sure it comes back. You see that? He likes to move his money around, but he wants
that,
it back.
I like refunds on my purchases, fellas.
Yeah, see, I'm glad
you
live in the same neighborhood. I'm glad we didn't live in the same neighborhood, because I could see us shooting marbles and me beating you, and you want your marbles back at the end of the game. That's not right.
That's not right. Marbles, that's the game. You win the marbles, you got the marbles. Me, when I buy something, you better have a refund attached to that purchase.
Well, yeah, but, we have about 8 minutes.
Digress.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let me
go
just
ahead.
Say thank you. Well, if that doesn't work, just like what Doc just said, there's other places on the body that you could touch. But the reality is, see, that's the beautiful thing about relationships. You know, just like while you're talking, you're touching her in different parts of her body, her hand, her shoulder, her inner arm. The nape of her back, you know, her knee or whatever the case may be. Of course, it depends on where you are more so than anything else. If y'all one-on-one in the house or somewhere, then, you know, there's certain places that you could touch. You know what I'm saying? You could take her shoe off and rub her feet. And when you touch certain areas that she responds, exactly. It's called reflexology. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information out there for the speaker. And she acts a certain way. Or even, for example, you touch her on her inner arm. 10-15 minutes later, she acts uncomfortable and things like that. Then, of course, there's something going on in her. See, the beautiful thing about the body, I'm not going to get long-winded, but the beautiful thing about the body is it's a supercomputer. You could walk in a room and stub your toe, and 15 minutes later, you could remember something that happened to you that was either pleasant or unpleasant when you was a child.
Wow.
There's memory all through the body.
Are you going to have an evening of reflexology? No. I'm asking you a question. Are you going to have an evening of one of the topics of reflexology and how to touch me in the morning, as Diana Ross would say? Then just walk away.
And there's a song by a brother in the day. I think it was in the 70s. He used to say, touch me because I want to be with you. Remember that? Can you touch with me? Remember that song? I ain't trying to sing it because y'all not throwing eggs through the phone. I ain't doing that.
We just want our money back.
No comprendo. No comprendo.
Give me back my money.
It's not about the money.
But I like that advice, though. I mean, anything that's useful is useful. So what works. That's my philosophy, sure.
Well, what if everybody start touching it? What if everybody start touching it?
What if who? What?
What if everybody start touching it? Would she react to everybody the same way?
No.
Not everybody's going to be taking it to the tub, for one thing.
That's right.
Thank you.
Come on,
Reverend.
Come on.
Yeah.
I was just saying, if the touch, you know, you have to watch that, because think about it. If she's just moved by a touch, you know, what about the dude she's cheating with now? How do he touch her? Does he touch her the same way? Rev,
I emphasized on the fact that you and her are
I got you.
All of that foolishness and all of those, you know, dark sides come out.
I got you.
You acknowledge that she's been traumatized. She may or may not have told you. But either way, even if you don't know, love and sex and attention and things like that, just a simple touch. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just a simple touch means more than words sometimes. You know, you don't always have to tell somebody you love them, but the way you look at them and the way you touch them, it's demonstration, you know.
That's the communication.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a better communication. It's love language. It's better than words because, you know, you can say you love somebody and you got them on the ground beating them. I remember my mother used to say that to me.
I love you. Boom, 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 boom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
She's going to hurt you more than hurt me.
That's why I'm doing this, because I love you.
I'm
going to
give everybody 30 seconds. Oh, no, you're fine. I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds. Go ahead, Key, ladies first, and about this evening, because we're going to have to continue this on next Tuesday, because we only got the number four. We got to number four, so we still got 11 more things to come through. Really, 12, because Reverend Ron had brought up another thing that we need to discuss as far as relationships and why they fail. So, Key, 30 seconds.
Well, I enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate the fact that this conversation wasn't focused on one stereotype or the other. I think it was like more open dialogue, so I appreciated that.
Okay. Okay. Bruh Eddie?
Yeah. I feel that should be a staple from now on, you know, because you can talk about anything under the sun, but if there's no remedy, just like our challenges, you know, on our ancestral landmass, that's what I had to bring that out too. We should always talk about an issue and then strive to find remedy. You know, we did talk about that before, about like Rev was talking about assisting her with healing, but there needs to be something implemented as far as remedy in the conversation also. Thank you.
Okay. Exactly. Okay, because it says after, you know, each one, like, okay, the one for your partner disregarded your feelings is what you can do is carefully listen to your partner's concerns, acknowledge them, and assure them you are with them. Better still, you can ask him or her what they feel about the situation and work it out together. So they have, I mean, if you go to this thing, like I was saying on the, but anyway, we're going to go to Reverend Ron and then we'll come back to this. Reverend Ron, we got about 2 minutes.
Well, tonight and the other times, I feel like that God has linked me with a relationship with you all. And I'm watching my discipline that you appreciate me, and I appreciate y'all.
Oh, we appreciate you. All right.
Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely do that. Go ahead, Joe.
What I wanted to find out was I like the remedy that Eddie had brought up, and he said it was prior to the manifestation of her trauma. In other words, you're doing it because you love her. What do you do? Can that also work by getting to the tub, being behind her, touching her, you know, in her either her erogenous zone or some other place that that can create some kind of healing? Can that happen? Can that work once the manifestation of her trauma comes out? If she starts flirting, right, and we're having discussions, can that also work by saying, baby, let's get into the tub. I want to try something new with you.
Okay. All right. You got about 60 seconds. So, Eddie, does reflexology work on all situations, but that helpful situation?
Well, that's a trigger location for healing, from what I've been told. But the reality is if you really know this woman or this individual, your significant other, and you see that they're getting up in emotion for some apparent reason, you got to strive to try and, you know, cool that fire before it turns into a tornado. So touching her in certain places, you know, even on her hand or whatever, while before she gets too up in her energy, because she gets up in her energy, there's not too much that you can do until she burns off that energy as far as, you know, a woman. Unless you're going to grab her and hold her down, and I wouldn't recommend that because, you know, then that might bring on a trust issue and even more trauma possibly. So it's really hard to say. That's why it's very important from the gate. You caress her in different areas. It ain't about sex, and that's not necessarily an erogenous zone, even though it's close to the opening. But during your relationship with her, you touching her while you talk to her and things like that. And as you're touching her, if she acts a certain way during or 15, 20 minutes later, you know, it's possibly some trauma in her body. So then you can go home and Google what happens if you touch a woman on her arm, you know, what psychological issue could she possibly be having.
Let me cut you short because Inez is going to, sorry to do that, but Inez is going to say we only have a few minutes left. No, I'm not talking about that. I know, but I'm not talking about
it. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm talking about,
go ahead.
You said you're emphasizing that particular technique can be used before the manifestation of the flirting comes out. In other words, we know she has trauma. We can do that to try to make sure that the manifestation doesn't come out. Once she starts flirting, and I've tried to stop her from flirting, and we've had discussions, it doesn't seem to work. Does that technique that you're talking about, does that have any effect afterwards?
I didn't know I was on mute because I'm moving around. It should, but the reality is nothing is etched in stone, because it might be some other reason besides, like, you know, again.
Oh, okay.
The doctor told my friend it was in reference to rape. Just like, say, for example, R. Kelly, what he supposedly went through with his aunt, right?
Wow.
I don't know if exactly it works the same for a man, but the issue is this behavior is governed by trauma, unconscious trauma.
Okay.
And another thing, and sometimes alcohol or drugs could be an issue also. So, you know, I mean, those things have spirits tied to them. So is it really her, or is it what she's consumed? I mean, it's, you know, that's what I'm saying. You really have to interact with that individual to find out what's going on.
I'll find out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll find out.
No, I mean, and maybe one evening we could have Brother Eddie talk about reflexology, or, you know, how do you calm down a situation when you touch somebody type of thing. He may know how to, you know, talk about those situations. That's a good topic if he wants to bring up to the forward.
Yeah, whatever.
Now you're making me go on my archives.
One quick thing.
Yeah, Rev.
What if the woman's in menopause? When she's in menopause, you can touch her. I said, what if a woman in that stage is in menopause? You can touch a woman in menopause, and it calms her down too. So how do you different? My wife that passed, you know, when I met her, she was in menopause. She, you know, and certain things that, you know, I would touch her and say it's going to be all right. She come all the way down. You know what I mean? I would put my hands on her shoulder, or I would just embrace her real nicely, and she would come all the way down. So the touch is important if it's a touch of love. Love has to come through the touch. That's what does the soothing. When someone touch you and you say, and they are hurting and you touch them and they say, oh, I feel better now. Well, it's the love. Mm-hmm. It's the love that came from you. So if we practice loving people, we'll get a better result out of them every time.
That's true. That's
good point.
True. Because I would make a point to give people hugs. I mean, not just little, you know, side hugs. I mean, a good old general bear hug. And I'm not a very big person. They said, that is the best hug I've had today. And then the next thing you know, they started looking for me to give them that hug, because that may have been the only touch that they had all week. So I would go out my way just to give hugs just to people, because, you know, you never know what a person's going through. And that nurturing, touching feeling just may have released a whole bunch of tension, like, you know, you were saying, you know, so you don't know what, you know, what impact you have on a person when you touch them. This evening, if you touch them on their shoulders, like, you know, some people will jump maybe because they're not ready for that. And some people's like, you know, just a little rub on the back says, oh, that feels so good. You just don't know how that little gentle touch has released so much pressure from a headache or whatever, anything. So you don't know the impact you have on the person just if you touch that person. So y'all, that's what we're talking about today. So
nice.
I just wanted to
add just one more thing briefly.
You can add two more things. Go ahead.
Okay. I met a sister here in the Carolinas. Her name was Chianessa Ifade.
Okay.
Unfortunately, she transitioned before she got her book out. She was doing a book on numerology and relationships.
Right, right. Okay.
Very unique and different book, but overall, this is one thing that she would always say.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should get at least 12 hugs a day to keep them balanced and happy.
Mm.
12 hugs a day, imagine that. And here we are with this testdemic and social distancing and all this foolishness.
Right.
It's crazy.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
You'd be surprised.
Exactly.
What you'd be surprised with, just like you're saying, those hugs of love just to you know, give somebody positive energy, what it does for a person.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Because I mean, you don't know. It's like, you know, when you come out this pandemic, it's like you just want to hug somebody because it's like, man, real people, I get to touch somebody. And that's what I did. It was this is a serious big old, and I wouldn't let do a 2 second hug. I do at least a 10 second, 15 second hug, and sometimes you can feel that the person's body just changed. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, it just felt so good. So then I'd give them another hug. So that was a 2 hugs for the day. So you know, you just don't know the impact you give on a person when you touch them. You know, speak to them and touch to them. And give them that free smile, because you never know what a person's going through. You just never know.
Little acts of kindness.
Yeah. I just want to say a couple of things. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, I was just thinking about the hugs, and I've tried in my younger days. I've tried to get like a hug a day, but people keep saying to me, "Joe, you don't even know my wife."
Cute Joe, he is crazy. I should put him on mute. He's a good people. But basically, on Sunday, August the 21st, Reverend Carolyn is going to be speaking. She speaks that on third Sunday, so that's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And I would have Reverend Ron end us in prayer if he wants to, and then we'll head out if you want to, Reverend Ron.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Falco Designs. I want to leave you with one question of the evening. If you were the janitor of the earth, how would you keep it clean? So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, each and every one of you. Hopefully you'll join us on next Tuesday as we continue our relationships. Why did they fail? 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you. Have a blessed weekend. Stay safe. And like you say, give out hugs, bear hugs, just love hugs, whatever. Have a good evening and stay blessed.
Everybody take care. Good night.
Good night.
You as well.
Peace, family.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yes. Same. Thank you.
There was nothing there to find. You told me that you never.